If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We've been waiting for a long time. Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. But we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's a great way to get a party started. Ryan?
Quiet, you.
Our feature presentation.
Don't even get me started.
Come on,
stop it. Stop it.
It can't only be Wednesday. Are you kidding me? This week will not end.
Don't even start that, my friend.
Just saying. How can it only be Wednesday? Jesus.
Kevin, right. You have sparklies on your forehead. You want to tell us about something that happened in the last few days?
I have sparklies?
You do, all across your forehead.
That is pure spearmint rhino.
That's some sort of New Year's Eve party happening.
Wow.
Well, that's odd.
Still happening, is it?
My guess. I didn't realize it, but okay.
Maybe you should shower.
No, let's not get crazy. I wouldn't want to go that far.
Happy New Year.
Well, we're back and... It's best of again, so time for another bit from 700 years ago.
Some people you don't remember.
Yeah.
Some stuff you don't care about.
Us being bad.
Yeah.
No, it's 5:32. It's Wednesday. It's the 2nd of January.
Yum.
It's been a while. Been a while. Lisa, how was your holiday?
It was long.
That's what she said.
Fabulous. Spent a week in Cabo.
A week in Cabo.
Yeah, before Christmas, which it's so great to like just leave work and go for a week.
Right.
You know, you shed everything from the year and you're out in the sun for a week. I read 2 books.
Wow. We haven't done that in 5 years.
Wrote some Wave Runners. Yeah, it was awesome. And then came back and had a great Christmas and a great New Year's Eve and saw some movies, saw a play, did a ton of shopping. I was crazy shopping woman.
Really?
I did.
Yeah. Why? Well, how come?
Well, there were sales and stuff, and I just felt like I needed a new wardrobe. I've been watching that What Not to Wear on TLC.
I don't know what that is.
It's a show about what not to wear.
Yeah.
And it's all your stuff?
You're the poster girl for what not to wear?
Oh, my God, I wear that. Oh, my God, I wear that. So I had to go shopping.
But, you know, you can't keep up with that. You're going to see another episode of that, and it's going to be all the new stuff you bought.
Well, it's not about fashion, per se. It's just about what fits your body and what looks good. So you don't have to keep up with the latest trends.
Oh, I see.
It's not about that. So I'm hoping to be classically dressed now in a fabulous way.
Me too.
I can see by your T-shirt.
Me too, and that explains the shirt.
With Psycho Mike on the front.
Picture of Psycho Mike, thumbs up, giant open smiling mouth, and underneath it says Real G.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Where did that come from?
What to Wear from TLC.
Of course.
I see.
It's the hottest trend.
So, Lisa, you sound tanned and rested and relaxed and ready to rock.
Absolutely.
So do you, Bean. Oh, wait.
Not so much any of those things.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. I had that night before first day of school just all night long, up and down, awake, asleep, awake, asleep, mostly awake. Oh,
really?
It was just awful. Bad dreams, nightmares, thought I was going to oversleep, just everything all rolled into one. I'm a mess today.
Really?
Not me, man. I slept.
What do you...
That's sad.
It's not your first day of school, you know that.
No, I understand, but you know, there's an... Look, this is K-Rock. Think of all the things that can go wrong.
This is a mess.
You know, we're not going to connect, or we're not going to have, you know, something that we have planned is going to fall through, and then we're going to have something else that's not going to work, and right. then you're going to be late, and then, you know, Mike's going to be annoying, and just all the stuff that usually happens. I was just prepared for it all to happen today. So far, everything's gone smoothly.
All that is going to happen, and you'll be fine, just like you were
I know.
Every day of last year when all that happened.
Exactly.
I know.
Good
Nothing
point.
Fixed at all.
You know how it is, though. You know how you, there's look. There's plenty to worry about if you allow yourself to worry.
Sure.
And sometimes it's hard not to. Some of you try not to. You try to say, oh, you just roll with the punches. It can't be that bad. But then, you know, you start thinking the worst possible scenario. Just
I did have one of those work dreams, like, mid-vacation.
Was I good?
You were really good.
Okay, good.
But we were both really late for work, and it was bad, and then we were locked out, and it all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
However, I will say this, as much as I hate to be here, and as much as I wish I were asleep, or anywhere else, really, there are some things on today's show that I am fairly chomping at the bit to get to.
No
we
kidding.
Really, I mean, you talk about stuff that has to be discussed. That's happening on this morning's Kevin and Bean show.
You are not going to believe. I don't believe.
I still don't believe.
No, I don't believe
it's
either.
It's true.
I mean, I missed
I'm telling you it's true.
I think it's a conspiracy.
I didn't check my email during the whole vacation, and I must have missed the flurry of email or however calls or however it was transmitted one to another. But when I came back and I checked my email, something supposedly happened that can't possibly have happened.
I don't think it did.
You know what I mean?
This is 9/11, people. This is everything you think you knew about the world is now completely turned upside down, and there's going to be before this happened and after this happened. I mean, you're never going to forget where you were when you found out about what we're going to tell you about next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be that sort of thing.
Are we exaggerating?
No way.
No, we're not exaggerating. That's the thing.
I will say you're not exaggerating.
However, having said that, I have no confirmation of this. You know who my source is? Psycho Mike. Shaky at best.
Yeah, but he's in the know on this one. I mean, he's in the inner circle. This is not third hand. This is guy who knows on this particular one.
I was just as I was skeptical, beyond skeptical, and I made sure to confirm.
One of the Kevin and Bean family, maybe the least likely member of the Kevin and Bean family, had sex with Miss Double December from, was it last year or the year before?
Year before, I think. Year before.
That's what I'm saying. With a previous Miss Double December.
A previous Miss Double December.
Yes.
Now you have to ask yourself, which member of the Kevin and Bean show would least likely have sex with a Miss Double December?
And then you got to take me out of the list because I'm married. So
right. And then you got to take, because you're married. Because they're all chomping at the bit for you, Bean.
They could just get that ring off, man.
And you got to take Doc out.
Sure.
Because, you know, the glove. So anyway, we'll tell you about that coming up in the next hour. We also have some highlights of the New Year's Eve program with Dick Clark.
Anna.
Whoops. That's not at all what I meant.
And yet it works perfectly, I think.
Always all funny, right. No matter what.
That's the work dream I was having right there.
Here's the thing about Dick Clark. He has not gotten any better, so what they decided to do this year was to pile on the work.
Oh, good.
Was to say, we're going to let you handle a bigger chunk of the show.
That is so true, Dick.
Yes, it is.
That's what I meant to hit. I think he has gotten a lot better,
what?
By the way. I don't think his, you can tell by listening to him, but he moved a lot better. He moved his arms this year. I mean, he definitely seemed like he had improved physically since last year.
Well,
but
I guess.
He is having trouble talking.
But that's what he does.
It's not really about waving your arms so much as
right. He doesn't just come on and wave his arms. He talks.
Not on a tarmac.
Exactly.
I'm saying that if there were an emergency and he had to land a plane, I'm saying he'd be the guy you'd want out on the runway.
So that's what you're saying.
That was your point originally? Okay. Well, they did toss it to him a lot. And
that's a worthless show, by the way. That show is just tedium is what it is.
Kidding. It always
year.
Is.
Even when he wasn't.
It's a complete waste.
The entire show, it's like 3 hours long. The entire show is, and here it is in a nutshell, and we'll talk about this coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. The entire show is, This is the greatest place on earth to be because there are a lot of people. There's a lot of people doing nothing. There's just a lot of people standing around in the cold. That's not a party.
Oh, they talk. And here's another sign about how when you're not having fun is when you spend a lot of time talking about how much fun you're having.
Yes.
That's key one right there. You go, oh, man, we're having the best time. Well, you know, if you were really having the best time, you wouldn't have to talk. And
we can just see that.
Yeah, you don't have to stop and say you're having a good time. But anyway, that's coming up. The guy from our Slayer parking lot interview, the F Your Mom Die Die Die, F Your Mom Die Die Die, that guy. Has an idea for a TV show that we think is great.
No kidding.
Fantastic.
And we started talking to him about it before we went on vacation. Unfortunately, we were unable to air any of his side of the conversation because his potty mouth. But I think hopefully we've settled that.
Okay.
And we're going to try and get him a TV show.
Guy needs a TV show.
Excellent.
I think so, too. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah! Everybody! You eat suck your mom die 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 your mom die 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 your mom die 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 your mom
guy doesn't even need writers.
That's our boy.
How good exactly. He
could call it F Your Mom. That would be the name of the show. Come on, I'm in. Holidays Gone Wrong. We'll take your calls this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, anytime you have big expectations, big things can go south, and that's always funny for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Hey, my friends and I just thought, hey, let's go to the San Francisco Zoo. It's Christmas. What can go wrong? Perfect example. Holiday Gone Wrong. That's how some people spent their Christmas day.
We are going to talk to a little young man who no longer wants to lick windows.
Is Nick, our little friend really? Nick growing up?
Nick the window licker is not growing up, but would like to.
Okay.
And wants a new job, wants a new start, it's a new year. So we're going to talk to him today and find out how that's going.
Okay.
And if you missed it, which I'm sure most of you did, I don't know if you have seen this cable show, Let's Paint. Go to YouTube and type in Let's Paint. This guy paints and runs on a
treadmill
and makes blended drinks.
Yes.
And has guests. Mm-hmm. And our own Psycho Mike was on his program.
Excellent.
Omar was there as well.
So was Omar,
yep. Omar was there.
Boy, was Omar.
And I
I could smell Omar in that YouTube video.
So we're going to give you some highlights of that coming up as well here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat now.
Where's Garmin, by the way? What's that deal? Where's he?
He's on vacation. I think he's trying to make his way back from Philadelphia.
It's a travel day for him.
He'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Him. Nobody enjoys... Is Doc not here?
Isn't Doc supposed to be here?
Yeah, of course he is. This is good.
He's right. Doc's not here.
This is good. I like it.
Wow. All right. So not exactly full cylinders this morning, but that's okay. We'll take a look at the show biz. Lisa, you said you saw a bunch of movies over the holidays. What did you see?
Well, I just saw two, actually, but I saw Juno and I saw No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
Good choices, I think.
I saw the exact same two, and that's all I saw as well. Those were the tops. They were both great, weren't they?
I thought they were.
Kevin, explain the ending of the No Country movie for me, if you could.
Me too. I'm puzzled.
That's the one where I said I was sitting there going, am I the only one that didn't get this?
It's
no,
so weird
you're
the
not.
The screen goes black. There's no music as the credits roll. And you hear everyone getting up and kind of going,
Yeah.
Huh.
My take on it was just that the title, No Country for Old Men, like the world had passed this guy by. He wasn't good enough to keep up with any of the new criminals. And he just... was going to die. That was it. That's good times right there.
I just thought...
Well, that's a good interpretation.
Theater did not get the full movie. Like
no.
The reel was missing or something.
No, you got it.
The only thing I thought.
You got it.
Huh.
Okay, well...
Yeah. The acting was really good. I'm not sure I got it, though.
I think him telling the story right before the ending, I don't want to give too much away, that was kind of medial, like a normal day-to-day type life stuff. I think it was trying to exhibit that no matter how extreme the things you see or do, no matter what craziness goes on, life otherwise is still going to continue.
You still get up and you make your breakfast.
You still have to take out the trash. Right. You still have to do the dishes. And...
Well, that's deeper than I went. So.
But how good was the killer in that one? The bad guy,
Javier Bardem.
Yeah,
he's incredible.
Yeah,
he's a great actor. Yeah. Anyway, No Country for Old Men, definitely worth seeing. A lot of critics are putting it. It's in everybody's top 10 list. Some critics have it as the best movie of 2007.
That's not crazy.
Check it out if you haven't seen it. It was just outside the top 10 at the box office over the New Year's holiday weekend. Number one was National Treasure, Book of Secrets. Kevin, you see that? I know you love the first one.
I didn't. I'm so dying. No, he's not kidding. It's the second week in a row, isn't it?
Yes, second week in a row. It's made $143 million already, Lisa. This national treasure is a juggernaut. Nick Cage is a huge star all over again.
I'm embarrassed.
I didn't have time to see it, but I was all excited because he finds out that, like, his great-grandfather might have killed President Lincoln, and there's a book of secrets, and he had to kidnap the president. It looked awful, and yet it's really just destroying.
Yeah, it's huge. Although I will tell you, I was not prepared as we went away on vacation right as the Chipmunks movie was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I was not prepared for that making $154 million so far, ladies and gentlemen.
You did
what?
Not.
You went to see Alvin and the Chipmunks, Mike?
I did.
Why?
Did you take nieces and nephews?
Yeah, exactly. And
as a cover?
No, pardon me. As a for a kids movie, it was fine.
Annoying.
Hey, you know, Jason Lee's really likable, and it was like just a very kind of unthreatening kids movie. That's all there is to it.
Well, I've been watching a lot of these candidates in Iowa for the caucus this week, and none of them are talking about how to stop this Chipmunks thing. Not one of them is bringing that up, and that's the issue as far as I'm concerned,
you know,
for this year.
Honestly, David Cross plays like a greedy record producer.
I love him.
And it saves the movie. It's really,
really?
It makes it, yeah.
Will Smith continues to be a megastar all over the world, over $200 million just in America for I Am Legend, more than that around the world. That's a huge, huge hit. Charlie Wilson's War came in fourth over the weekend.
That one I saw. That was great.
Oh, that is on my list this week.
Charlie Wilson's War was amazing.
Good.
Well, Aaron Sorkin wrote the screenplay, so it has to be great. He's amazing.
Who's the who's the frumpy dude that's a great actor that's
Philip
in it?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, my God. You'll love him. You'll love him.
That's
you'll love him.
Great.
Juno was number five. Terrific movie, Alien versus Predator. Is that new this week? Did that just come in at number six?
I think
six? Wow.
I think
dude.
So. Yeah.
Then P.S. I Love You, whatever that is. Sweeney Todd at eight, The Enchanted at nine, and The Great Debaters, the new Denzel Washington movie at number 10. That's the top 10 box office for the holiday weekend. A lot of money being made. I mean, Hollywood saved itself in the final weeks of 2007. It had been a pretty lackluster year, but they just, this blockbuster heaven right now.
I saw Sweeney Todd as well.
Tell me.
They sing.
Well, it's a musical,
it's based
Kevin.
On a musical.
Who knew?
Everyone
know.
In the world.
I know my wife was mocking me so hard. She's like, you know that was on Broadway. You know, whatever's on Broadway, just in one ear and out the other. I saw the trailer where he's kind of singing. I thought, well, that must be a dream sequence. And then they're singing through the whole goddamn movie, and they need to stop it. Stop singing.
It's a musical.
By the way, 17 more songs than you need in a musical even. I love you, my knife. Shut up.
So
stop singing.
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
For a musical, it was good?
Yeah. Too many songs, though. I mean, everybody has to sing about whatever they're doing. And I understand that's part of a musical. But you don't have to sing about, I'm walking from one door to the other.
Yeah, that's annoying when they sing about every damn thing that happens.
Seriously. I mean, really, you don't need 100 songs in one movie.
Were there too many songs in Chicago or Moulin Rouge or Dreamgirls or any of those movies for you?
I don't know. I don't remember any of those. But this one was just, they sang and then they sang and then they sang.
But then there's blood, and then they sing.
And then there's cutting of a throat and blood spurting, and then there's singing.
A lot of blood, right? And then
and then there's a lot of singing.
I don't know what to do now.
That went on. It's worth it. I mean, Johnny Depp is amazing in anything he does.
Yeah.
And
he
Tim
is.
Burton is amazing, I think, whenever he directs. But they sing a lot, man.
All right, warning.
I'll tell you, there's song after song in that movie. Just a lot of them. Jamie Lynn Spears, the sister of Britney. Pregnant.
Following in her sister's footsteps.
Going to talk to Harvey Levin in about a half hour about this. Catch up with what's going on.
It was a huge story for a few days, and then it kind of went away. I guess there's not much to say until the kid percolates, but is there anything new on her?
Oh, yes, there is.
What's happening?
The support is, the troops are rallying around her. They're coming behind her. Apparently, Jamie Lynn Spears is being supported by Kevin Federline.
What?
Kevin has long thought of Jamie Lynn as a little sister, a Federline family member shares with OK Magazine. He was heartbroken because he was concerned about what it would mean for Jamie Lynn's future. But now that the dust has begun to settle, he just wants to be part of her support system.
Oh, God.
He can't have a relationship of any kind with her, can he? He can't be friends with her. He can barely know her. When he was with her sister, she was 15.
Hey, K-Fed he cares a lot. That's what I know about K-Fed.
That's what we're getting, right?
She is going to get through this just fine because she's got the rock that is K-Fed with her.
first thing I thought when I heard she was pregnant was, I hope it's K-Fed's baby. That's the ultimate F you to Britney, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be the best?
Yes, it would.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Harvey will have something to say about that coming up. Here's big, big news, by the way, that if you have not been paying attention over the holidays, maybe you don't know, but the talk shows are coming back. Jimmy Kimmel back on the air tonight with a new show. David Letterman, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien. Carson Daly, of course, is already back. This is going to be trouble for a lot of people because only Letterman has worked out a deal with the Writers Guild for his writers. They have accepted a new contract, and I don't know how that's possible that they can have a separate contract than the rest of the guild.
He owns – well, but Letterman owns the production company. I mean, if NBC wanted to do it, they could.
Right.
They
right,
just
but they don't.
Right. But well, can do it.
How's Jimmy coming back then?
They're using non-union writers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the big question is, who's going to come on? Who's going to cross the picket line to be a guest?
Which you'd have to do.
Yeah.
Because they
so.
Are going to be picketing those shows. So, yeah, Dave will have writers, which gives him a real leg up against the other shows. Jay, I mean, if Jay just going to – I mean, you think non-union writers, he won't just go out there and wing it. He
no,
won't
I
write his own stuff, in other words.
Well, I think he does to some extent anyway.
Right.
But I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. It's also going to be interesting to see what happens with the Golden Globes, which are fast approaching. January 13th is the date, and they have asked for a waiver, just like the Oscars did. And I think the Oscars got approved for the waiver. The Golden Globes did not.
Yeah.
So right now, they do not have writers for the Writers Guild, you know, for the Golden Globes. And it's going to be the exact same thing Lisa's talking about is, are actors going to show up for the Golden Globes, nominated or not? Even just to be in the audience, are they going to show up? Or are they going to say, hey, that's crossing a picket line. Could be a real messy, messy show.
Yeah.
Not much of a strike if you get a permission to do everything you want to do.
I know, exactly. And by the way, couldn't they have settled this in all the time since the last 3 weeks since we've been gone? Couldn't they have gotten together a couple of times? They haven't. Not once that I know of.
Yeah.
That's how you solve things. Is just avoid them.
Just wait it out?
Yep. You know, they have these autograph signing magazines. I've never seen one of these, but I guess they specialize in, you know, celebrity autographs or whatever. And they always put out their lists of celebrities who are the best autograph signers and celebrities who are the worst.
Is that in terms of the quality of their signature?
It's quality, willingness.
Oh, okay.
The whole deal. Like, some people won't sign. Some people sign a lot and personalize it and whatever. I'm surprised to see Johnny Depp at the top of that list. I don't pay attention to this very much, but he seems like such a recluse.
Yes. I mean, he moved to France, for goodness sakes.
I love to sign my name. So he's number one on the list of the best celebrities to get an autograph from.
That is surprising.
Matt Damon, George Clooney right behind him. And guess who is number one on the worst autograph list?
I don't buy this.
I don't either. The celebrity who is the worst autograph signer, according to this magazine, of all time.
Boy, I...
You don't want to walk up to him. He'll say no, whatever.
Sean Penn.
Oh, that's a good guess.
That's a great guess. That would have made sense. I would put him up there.
Nicolas Cage. Okay.
Will Ferrell.
What?
No way.
It's impossible, right?
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
Tobey Maguire and Joaquin Phoenix were right behind
those,
you.
Those, I believe.
I have heard that about both of those guys. But Will Ferrell, that is a surprise to me.
It is bizarre, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But.
Mm-mm.
You know, Steve Martin is the guy who figured out how to handle it. He carries business cards with him that says, this card will personally signify that I met Steve Martin and I found him to be charming and handsome and the nicest guy in the world, blah, 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 just because that's your little souvenir that you get from Steve Martin when you meet him, which I think is a great way to handle it because I don't blame these guys for not wanting to spend all day every time they leave their house signing their names.
Muhammad Ali did the same thing.
That's
brilliant.
I got
his autograph in the 80s and he had just a stack, he had like a handler because of his illness, and he had like a stack of cards that were already pre-signed, and then people just come up and just hand.
It's because you wouldn't have been able to read it.
Right, exactly.
And finally, maybe you missed this over the holidays, but Jessica Simpson, not the biggest movie star in the world, as you know, they decided to give a limited release to a movie that we heard a lot about when it was being made called Blonde Ambition.
Right.
And they opened it on 8 screens in Texas over the holidays, and it made... $1,340.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
On 8 screens.
But did anyone know it was coming out?
Yeah, they advertised it and everything in those cities, and that's what it did. So that's now going right to DVD. It's not going to get a wider release.
Good times.
Oh, man.
Major movie star, another movie that we heard a lot about while it was being filmed, the one with Vivica Fox and Steve Guttenberg, also headed straight to DVD. She just needs to be nude is what she needs to do, not try to act. I think that's the conclusion I'm drawing anyway.
I agree.
Today's celebrity birthday is a couple of hotties for you, Mike. Check this out. Kate Bosworth, 25 years old today. Tia Carrere, who looks fantastic at 41 years old today. And the hottest of all, Taye Diggs, 36. Come on.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
Also, Oscar-winning Cuba Gooding Jr. is 40 today. Supermodel Christy Turlington is 39. Beverly Hills 90210 actress Gabrielle Carteris, who I thought was like 50 at the time she was playing a high schooler on that show. She always looks so much older than everybody else. She's actually only 47 today. And the inexplicably popular Dax Shepard, the actor who I guess is dating Kristen Bell right now. That's what everybody's saying.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was dating Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
She's now it's Kristen Bell. Kristen Bell's going to dump him when she finds out what we're going to tell you in the next hour.
Anyway, Dax is 33, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. That is a song called Map of the Problematique, by the way, which is exactly the title that I was going to use when I wrote my song, but I blew it. Nirvana, Linkin Park, Weezer on the way. Also, the new 9/11. Shocking news within the Kevin and Bean family that we'll tell you about in about a half an hour. And we'll update you on Harvey Levin and TMZ.com. That's a guy who doesn't take a day off. That's a guy who kept working throughout the holidays.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bring us up to speed with Jamie Lynn and everything else going on.
Okay. Wow. Okay. First of all, I'd like to admit I hate myself for this.
Okay.
So none of you can write me an email, make me feel any worse.
But my grandfather just had a stroke. If
you've had a family member that had a stroke, I can understand how troubling that would be. But
don't put him on TV.
They keep putting Dick Clark in front of a camera. And I can't be trusted with that kind of audio.
And expecting us to say nothing.
Right.
Come on.
Are we supposed to say, it's good to see him, I guess.
Good job,
but
Dick.
That's what she said.
No. Do people tune in because Dick is hosting, or do they tune in just because they want to see whatever's going on in Times Square? I mean,
I think it's habit. Would
ABC take a ratings hit if Dick were not on the show?
I can't imagine.
I don't know. I can't see. Here's the thing. I can't get in the mindset of wanting to watch TV on New Year's Eve anyway.
True.
So I've never watched these shows. They're all such wastes of time.
Yeah.
And they basically spend their time interviewing people on the street and whatever with that stuff. But then once Dick Clark, you know, started shining, now I'm in.
Because let's face it. I mean, Dick, he became popular just because he was there every year. It was just habit, just repetition. It's not like he does anything. It's not like he does, you know, he juggles or does stand up or anything like that. He just sits behind a desk and goes 10, 9, 8, 7, down to one. I mean, that's his gig.
And by the way, no one cared before he had a stroke. No one cared.
It's not true.
Like everybody goes, can't wait for that New Year's Eve show. Nobody gave a crap.
Yeah.
So this year I was trying to figure out how much is Dick going to talk. That's what she said. And this is the beginning of the show.
Once again, Mr. Dick Clark.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be back for another New Year's in New York. Well, there are about a million people in the Times Square, billions more looking all over the world. And tonight at midnight, they're going to see a brand new ball come down. It's going to be great. So don't you dare go away.
This is a mess.
A little bit.
He doesn't sound any better.
So he doesn't sound any better, right?
No.
So you would think that they would take, I don't know, some of his, that he would understand that and take some of his responsibility away. I think he's behind the show, right? So he could make it. He is.
He owns it. He produces it. He would be the guy who could say, wow, is this uncomfortable and unparty-like to watch?
No.
Maybe I'll dial myself back a little.
He's made the opposite decision. I'm the one that needs to do more of the heavy lifting. That's what Dick Clark said.
Although, under any other circumstance, take the mic away from Seacrest. You've got my vote.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think you're better off with Ryan.
Welcome back. You know, everybody in Times Square came to celebrate tonight, and we're about to add to their fun. I'm a big, big fan of the young lady who's about to sing, and it's a great way to get our party started. Ryan?
That is so true, Dick.
Yes, it is. Did he say I'm a big bean fan? Is that
what it sounded like a little bit, but big fan, I think is what he was trying to say. I think that was when they're bringing on Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
He shouldn't maybe be on the TV.
But at least he was on a little more than last year.
We're live from New York. And there are over 6,000 police keeping everybody safe and sound tonight.
By the way, his job numbers. That's all he does is talk about numbers. Right. Yeah. 6,000 police, millions of people, billions watching, all about numbers.
And, by the way, if you watch that show, every 5 minutes they tell you there's a million people there, as if somehow that makes it good. As if it somehow makes it interesting that there's a million people standing around.
That did always strike me as, boy, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
How can you find a bathroom? How can you find something to drink?
Too many people.
Too many people.
When the clock hits midnight.
I'm sorry, what?
Clock. He meant to say clock.
Did he say clock? I didn't hear
he
clock.
He was trying to say clock.
How
he
do
has
you
trouble
know?
With his L's.
How do you know?
Because the context of the sentence doesn't make any sense if it's not clock.
They're going to drop over 2,000 pounds of confetti. Imagine, 2,000 pounds. That's double the amount since we started the show 36 years ago. Might as well.
Dick, that's a lot of confetti.
Okay.
That is a lot of confetti.
That is.
Dick.
I mean, it's hard to argue.
Don't get me started on Maricel Castro, by
I don't know
the way.
Who that is.
Oh!
I don't know who she is.
Oh, I hate her so much.
I know that it was Ryan and it was Dick and it was Maricel or whatever her name is, but I've never seen her before.
Do we have a moment for Maricel? Because she apparently is on Good Morning America, which I do not watch, and her job is to be the person out on the street interviewing the revelers in Times Square. So she is supposed to make interesting with the people who are standing around waiting for the ball to drop, okay?
All right.
And this is what Maricel Castro comes up with.
I was telling you, millions of people, it's amazing the coincidences. This is Elise from Missouri, Christina from Arizona. Your birthday is when?
Today, actually.
And your birthday is?
January 1st.
Tomorrow. So the birthdays are very, very close. And you guys actually just met her today, yeah?
What?
No.
Yes, that's...
Are you kidding me?
This is what she did all night long. Every time they threw it to her, her job was to talk to people in the crowd and get their stories.
Yeah. Is she a good companion for you?
What?
Is she a good companion for you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What about her?
She's good.
Jessica was wondering if her hair looked okay. We're just gonna zhuzh it up for you. Ryan, I gotta tell you, so many people here, and it's only gonna get louder and crazier, and I'm so prepared and excited for it. I don't know where you are.
Wow.
Ryan, how are you?
Wow, do
that's
I hate her.
That was on
horrible.
Television, folks. That was on a broadcast network for people to see in their homes.
You know what happened was I fast-forwarded through every single time they were interviewing people on the street because those always blow.
Right, yes. You just wanted Dick.
I just wanted Dick.
Yes.
So last year, Dick counted down, and remember, he was off the clock a little bit. Like, people were saying 9, he was on 11.
Right, and then he skipped a number. I think he skipped 15 last year.
He was a little better this year, but they did throw it to him with one full minute to go and let him stall and paint the picture with words. And it was spectacular.
Dick, take it away. It's your specialty, my friend.
Thank you, Ryan. This is what everybody's been waiting for. This is why they've been lining up since 2 o'clock this afternoon. Some people have traveled thousands of miles to be here.
This is a mess.
We're about 3 seconds away. The noise is building in Times Square. Everybody is ready to say goodbye to the older and ring in the new. It's going to be a whale of a celebration. So let's go. Here we go. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Look, look, look. I don't want to see Muhammad Ali box. I don't need to see Dick Clark talk. I know. I see his place in history. I know it's heartbreaking for those of you that have strokes in your family. I get all that. But to hear him talk is just to try constantly to understand what he's saying.
And it's also, it doesn't add to the party sensation of New Year's Eve. It doesn't make you want to go, woo! Yay! Happy New Year! Right? It's kind of
that's
the anti-party.
It's kind of sad.
You go, oh, that guy used to be able to talk. I thought this was going to be a good year.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
Exactly. Thank you, Dick.
It is Wednesday. It's the 2nd of January. We are back from vacation at 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
I got to tell you, I missed Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and I am delighted to talk to him for the first time in 2008. Harvey, how were your holidays, my friend?
They were very good. I have to say, I really like the reruns. If you suspend reality, they were just as good.
Yeah. Listen, hey, we've often said they're better because you don't get all the BS.
Right.
That's right.
It's true.
Hey, Harvey, before we talk about what you're working on TMZ.com right now, I just want your opinion as a television professional. We were just having a conversation about the fact that they keep wheeling out Dick Clark every year for New Year's Eve. Is that a mistake, or are they doing the right thing by putting an 80-year-old stroke victim on TV and trying to turn it into a party?
Well, I mean, I have an opinion about that. I mean, I don't think people should be locked up to die when they have a stroke. And I kind of think it's a really good thing. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the crappy things about this society, which is that, you know, when people view people as damaged, it was like epileptics in 1900. They put them in the basement and they just let them rot there. And, I like it. I mean, because I just think it's such a stupid idea to sanitize this country and just say, unless you look perfect and you're in perfect health, that we're not going to put you out there. I think it's great.
Part of me agrees with that entirely, and that's the part of me that hates the other part of me. That,
right. Well, that's what it should be.
That laughs along.
10, 9, 8, 7.
All right. Don't have time for that.
That's a very valid point. So, Harvey, it broke my heart that we weren't on when the news broke on TMZ.com, I guess courtesy of the OK interview about little Jamie Lynn Spears. What's going on with her?
Well, I mean, her mom didn't write a parenting book for nothing.
Now,
mom wrote a parenting book.
Her mom wrote, her mom wrote a parenting book, and it was being published by the Christian Press, which is now on hold.
But wait a minute.
That's beautiful.
She was writing a parenting book after Britney and all that stuff with Britney?
After Britney, but before Jamie Lynn. And the funny thing is, it's like, okay, Jamie Lynn pushed him over the top. I mean, how about Britney? Hello?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they cancel her book for 1,000 Britney reasons?
One would think.
Jamie Lynn is still head and shoulders above her, even though she's pregnant at 16.
One would think. But it's, this is America, folks.
Wow.
I know. I mean, she is pregnant. She wanted to have the baby. She's already made a deal to get $1 million when the baby is born. She's going to sell the pictures.
Oh, good.
And that was part of the package here. The mom kind of helped engineer all of that stuff.
I'm sure.
It is just like unbelievable.
What's the relationship with her and this boyfriend of hers? We've heard that they live together even. What's that deal?
Well, get this. You know that parenting book I just talked about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Now, you know where they live together?
No.
Under Lynn Spears' roof. When she was doing Zoe 101 in Los Angeles, Casey, the guy, and Jamie Lynn were staying at Lynn Spears' house together.
And how old were they? She was 15, he was
15 or 16 at the time. He's like almost 19 now, so he was probably 17 then.
I wonder how many listeners we could find if we were to open the phones that are 16-year-old girls that parents let them sleep with their boyfriend in their house. Not very many.
I would, who is going to read this book?
Look,
the Menendez brothers.
Yeah. Listen, all she's going to do is chapter one. Let them do whatever they want.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding.
If they make you enough money.
It's like, it's going to be shorter than famous Jewish athletes.
Right. Now, Harvey, was there some talk for a minute when this story first broke that maybe this guy was a little bit too old and that he might end up actually facing some charges because of the age difference between the two? Aren't there kind of a crazy patchwork, what's that word? Patch, quilt patch, whatever that is, of laws about how much
quilt?
Older you are allowed to be than your girlfriend if you're sleeping with her?
Technically, if somebody is over 18 and then somebody is 16, the Department of Children's Services can open an investigation. It doesn't have to happen, but it can open. But they can open it, but usually they don't do anything unless there's some kind of a complaint filed. And this is not that kind of situation, so it's not going to happen here. But it is theoretically possible, absolutely.
Gotcha. Now, how is Nickelodeon going to reconcile their young audience that they have on their channel with one of their stars being pregnant?
Well, they're running for cover right now, and they're basically saying, look, they've got got next season already in the can. And it's, you know, my guess is she is never, if that show keeps going, and it's unclear because we've been calling around, but if it keeps going, it's going without her. I mean, what's really funny is, I forget her last name. Her name is Alexis. She's really cute, this little kid who was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she had some kind of a falling out with Jamie Lynn. We found her at some sushi shopping mall the day after it happened. Just trashed her.
Really?
Oh, just. I mean, it was just about responsibility, and she makes bad decisions and trashed the mother. You know, Jamie Lynn apparently this is genetic with Brittany and Jamie Lynn and the whole bunch.
I want to read their mother's parenting book.
No kidding.
They're not going to print it because I would find that really funny.
Oh, I would just. It broke my heart. I mean, it broke. You know what? I'll make a call and I'll see if TMZ can publish it.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
That would be great.
Harvey Levin is on the line from TMZ.com and, of course, TMZ TV weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. I just have to ask you real quick because it was on again, off again. What do you got on your sources on Pam and Rick? Are they back together, broken up? How long is this marriage going to last?
Well, they broke up for 5 minutes and she actually filed for divorce.
Oh, really?
And then she filed, I think it was like on a Friday, and then on Monday she said, never mind. And it was a big heated argument. So, of course, when you have a big heated argument with somebody you're married to for 5 minutes, you file for divorce.
Right, sure.
Which she did.
And you pull back.
And now they're supposedly back together, and they're doing some kind of a reality show. So some people on my staff thought it was a stunt.
Yeah.
But she actually lawyered up. So I don't know. But, you know, I if you're taking bets on this marriage...
Bet against?
Hey, Harvey, didn't you predict that she'll end up back with Tommy Lee before 2008 is through?
Would that surprise you that much?
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
Harvey, we were hiding from everything for 2 weeks. What else do we miss? Any one big thing? Or is it pretty much covered?
I mean, Brittany's just in complete meltdown. And it looks like, it looks like something's going on between her and one of the paparazzi.
You mean an affair?
I'm saying that about a week ago, she took a picture of this mural on a street, and she got pissed off because the photographers were blocking her view. So she smashed her camera into one of the cars, left, and then realized her memory card popped out. So she came back, and this paparazzo found her memory card. She put him in her car. They drove to the Peninsula Hotel. He stayed inside the hotel room until 4 a.m, came out, then said he wanted to get a pack of cigarettes, figure that one out. And then last night she spent New Year's Eve with him.
I gotta tell you, I under no circumstances want to go after K-Fed.
No.
You know? I mean, I'm
absolutely
out at that point. All right, Harvey, it's great to hear your voice again. You're doing good work as usual.
It's good talking to you guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you, man.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Yeah.
Big announcement. Hey, Kevin.
Huge.
By the way, I was watching a little bit of the Carson Daly New Year's Eve show the other night.
Yeah.
And NBC is in full Olympics mode. They have already started the countdown. As of New Year's Eve, it was 220 days to the kickoff of the Olympics in China. And that is all we are going to be hearing about for the next 8 months.
Wow. I was playing this more because we have a huge announcement, and it sounds like something big is about to happen.
Okay. All right. Let's hear your announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I'm going to let her say it. I'm going to let her tell it.
Okay.
Let's go to former Miss Double December, Yasmeen.
Oh.
Good morning, Yasmeen.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Yas. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi.
Happy New Year to you.
Oh, you too. What are you guys calling me about? I have no idea.
No.
None.
All right. I can, let me pick up the story here because I happen to have my iPhone with me, and I saved the text message I got from Dave on December 23rd at 12:03 a.m.
Okay.
Here's what it says. Okay. So, are you making out with Yasmeen right now? All right. That's me.
Yeah!
I wrote back, you sit on a throne of lies.
Of course
Dave writes
you did.
Back, not today, my friend, not today. And then it goes on and on from there.
Oh,
Yasmeen,
good
time. I on purpose did not check my email over the holidays because I don't like most of the people I work with. But
right.
But I find out yesterday they were supposed to make this announcement today that you, Miss Double December 2006, Yasmeen.
Yeah.
And Dave, the King of Mexico, had... You say it, Dave. I can't say it.
We had sex.
Yeah!
Oh, why did it gotta be an announcement? Why
did it gotta
be an announcement?
Because it's you, Dave.
Yeah, just can't we just
and
let
it's
it
her,
go?
Yes.
That is absolutely not true.
Look, I would have been less surprised by George W. Bush being reelected this year than I am by Dave. And he's not eligible, Kevin. You
right.
understand.
No,
he's not allowed to run, right?
I got that joke.
Then Dave and Yaz together over the holidays. And by the way, the first thing I thought is, well, this was a one-time drunk thing. And then I'm talking to Dave yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I just dropped Yaz off from our New Year's Eve date around 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. He just dropped her off. I'm like,
yeah, just the lock of shame and everything.
Now, here's the thing, Yasmeen, and, you know, we love you, and we love Dave, but we've known Dave a long time, and he is the black hole of game.
Like, he is.
He's anti-sex.
Somehow, he's Clippers bad.
Somehow,
that's not true.
Oh!
That was going to be my question.
Okay, so you're
quality.
Telling me that it did happen, and it happened more than once.
Yes, twice.
Oh,
that is absolutely incorrect.
This can't be
this
possible.
Can't, you guys got together over the holidays, and you said, "Wouldn't it be funny to tell Kevin and Bean blah blah blah?"
Right.
No,
exactly.
That's not how it happened. Well. First of all, I was out with a girls' night, and me and Dave were, like, randomly text messaging each other throughout the day. And I was sitting at dinner, and I was actually with Jenny, and I'm like, let's invite Dave to our girls' night. So he met up with me and my girlfriends at this karaoke bar in L.A.
By the way, that's the kind of guy Dave is.
Yes.
He's always hanging around girls' nights, but he's also the least threatening heterosexual on the planet.
He's kind of one of the girls.
He's one of the chicks.
That's not true.
All right, keep going.
And so he walks in, and I'm like, wow, Dave's like, well, mind you, I'm like a bottle of wine deep, but that has nothing to do with me.
Of course.
Because I slept with him sober, so. He walks in, and
you did not sleep with Dave, the King of Mexico, sober. Did you say sober?
I said sober, yes, sober.
Sober? Like, I think of sober, like no drinks?
Like, you sleep, and you wake up the next morning, and you're sober.
No!
All right. Put the bullhorn down, Kevin. So, let her tell the story. Okay. So Dave comes out to karaoke night with the girls. Then what happens?
Yeah, and he's wearing his little fingerless gloves, and he's got his little emo hoodie on. And I'm like, he's
okay,
so
wait a minute.
Cute.
Yes!
Hold on. No, wait a minute.
His gloves!
Wait a minute. The fingerless gloves.
Yeah, his little fingerless gloves.
And the emo hoodie are not two strikes against?
No! They were really cute. He wore them again on New Year's, too, so it was super cute.
That's all he's got, man. You've seen the act.
Right. I already know. What he's got working with, but I was like, Jenny, he's so cute, I'm going to make out with him. And she's like, what?
Now, wait a minute, hold on. Now, when you said I'm going to make out with him, you were thinking this will be funny, I'll be able to tell everybody.
No, like, I honestly genuinely wanted to make out with him. Like,
that
it
is
wasn't
absolutely
like, oh, this is
not true.
No, it's true.
So you made out with him. Okay, now, you're making out with him. By the way, he has time during the makeout session to text Bean, because Dave is always
while
texting.
Out. Yeah, that's how good I am.
How was he? It grosses me out to even ask the question, but was he pretty good at making out?
Oh,
yeah, he was really good at making out.
I'm honestly. The best.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were starting
to... Oh, I mean...
So you're starting to get a little hot and heavy at this point when you're starting to think, wow, Dave's he does have game.
I wasn't like, oh, like he walked in, I'm going to have sex tonight. It was just like it kind of gradually happened throughout just the night of making out and talking and random flirting and just having a good time. And then, you know, it's closing time and my friends were like, well, let's go. And I'm like, oh, well, I think I'm just going to go home.
No way. Now,
are we still talking about the King of Mexico, Dave Sanchez,
yes,
the little Mexican kid that answers the phone?
Yes, we're talking about Dave.
Okay, but you're like in Pasadena and Dave is in South Bay. So you have a whole hour to rethink it.
No.
You're starting to sober as you're driving down. Something, some sort
what
of...
What am I doing? Things feel wrong.
Yeah.
No. I remember sitting in the car, and I was looking at him. He's driving. He's sober with his fingerless gloves, you know. And I'm sitting shotgun, and I'm like, Dave. And he's like, what? I'm like, you're going to be naked tonight. And he goes, okay. And he's just
okay, wait a minute, wait a minute.
That's
wait a minute.
What he says, okay.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait. Like,
I've had that dream so many times to hear Yasmin say those words, and it's never been this icky.
So you said to him, you're going to see me naked tonight, and he said, okay.
That's the game, buddy. That's the game.
Now, which of you demanded a Taco Bell stop before you got home?
That was me.
That was you.
Dave, I just want to drive through Taco Bell. And he's like, okay.
Okay. Now, would you say you were the aggressor, Yasmin?
Oh, definitely. 130% I
was. Was there any point where you thought, and this is why we bring this up, because every other girl that would try, you would finally get to the point where you go, wow, this just isn't going to work.
No, it was all me. I was the cougar. I totally attacked him. I feel bad about it.
Well, that's how it's always going to have to be with Dave.
Oh, yeah.
No, dude. You know, the game worked perfectly, buddy. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
His devilish plan worked.
That's all I'm saying.
Here I am. Here I am, by the way.
The game kind of, like, helped him out.
I'm trying to give Dave advice because you guys know I'm quite the ladies' man. This is being speak, right? So after Dave had the initial like Christmas Eve makeout session, I'm like, Dave, you know, I mean, you're in the game here. You got to really bring it now. I mean, you got to try to get a second date. You got to try to make something happen because we love Yaz. She's so sweet. You'd be lucky to date her. You know, you got to go for it. I said, you can't bring the Clippers game. You got to bring the A game. And he writes back. He says, dude, I bring the A game all the time.
Yeah, that's what we're afraid of. It can't be your A game.
Yeah, it can't be.
It works, dude. It works.
So, New Year's Eve, another date, and another all-nighter, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Clippers. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he texted me. He's like, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. I was probably going to hang out with Jenny and Mike and do something, you know? And he's just like, you want to come to the Clippers game? And I'm like, okay.
Wait a minute. I thought Clippers game was euphemism. He took you to a Clippers game?
I went to
a
Clippers game.
Game.
Oh my God!
That wasn't all like right. AKA sex. We really went to the Clippers game.
How to put a woman to sleep in one date,
dude? Clippers game was awesome. Then we went to John.
Caracluster John emails: is it April Fool's Day already, Dave? Come on, I'm not buying it. So clearly, they think you're having us on. Those but this of you is just, a real deal.
Those of you just tuning in, Yasmin, Miss Double D, 2006. Dave, the King of Mexico, got together over the holidays and thought it would be funny to lie to us and say they had sex. Twice.
I don't know why it's a big deal.
Because, Dave, we've been we've spent trips in Vegas. 3-4 days.
Dude.
Wait a minute. Let me just say
this. Yeah, go ahead.
All of our goals, everybody's goal was singularly to get Dave laid.
Yes.
I mean, that was our entire – we worked the entire time and couldn't make it happen
no
matter
what. And how do you know I didn't in those trips? Because I never talk about it.
Oh,
that's
Dave.
Why.
That's
I
why.
Never oh, talk about it. And I don't want to talk about this time either. And yet you
well,
guys
then you're
me and
dumb.
I blew.
You're stupid if you don't want to talk about because she's Yasmin and you're Dave.
I know, and it's awesome.
Because you're Dave.
You should have her face tattooed on your face. That's how much you should be shouting this one from the rooftops. Dude, your life has peaked. This is as good as it's ever going to be for you.
Yasmin, is
ever.
It ever going to happen again?
Possibly.
Oh.
This is too much. I can't get my head around this
either.
Happening. Hey, Dave,
why
what about
so unbelievable?
Because you're you and he's him.
Who's the man? This guy.
You understand the disparity between you two. You understand the hotness that you can pull versus the hotness that Dave should be able to pull. This is an imbalance. This is a freak of nature. This is we need a photo for hotchickswithdouchebags.com.
Why am I a douchebag?
I don't know. Why don't you answer that? I'm not the douchebag. You are.
Oh.
Yes, me.
Honestly, like, hooking up with Dave, I didn't think it was going to be, like, this big, like, oh, ring the bell. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
because, but the problem is that we've known Dave for, what, 10 years?
Almost, yeah.
Almost 10 years. It's been a constant battle. We have conversations amongst ourselves. What's wrong with Dave? Why doesn't he like girls? He could use his power for evil. What's wrong with him? We've had that conversation for 10 years.
Nothing is wrong with me. I've been trying to tell you guys. Nothing is wrong with me. I'm okay. And you guys just won't leave it alone. I'm good.
Well, now he is.
I'm rad.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, me.
I don't even know what to say at this
point either.
Except stop it. I just stop it. Just don't do it anymore. It's icky. It's just don't.
All right, Yasmeen.
Look, you sound happy, Yas. I mean, you sound like you're having a good time, and I'm grateful. I mean, I'm very pleased to hear that because I like you very much. I mean, if you're happy, I guess.
Yeah. Dave's an awesome guy. I do enjoy spending time with Dave. He's funny.
Right, all girls do, but they don't have sex with him. Yasmeen,
I do.
You know this is not part of your Miss Double December duties, right?
I know, right?
Okay. All right, just check.
Boy, is Cassidy nervous right now. She's thinking that she's got ahead of her. Dave, oh, no, I don't.
Dave is going to nail Cassidy. You know why?
I'm just rad.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Hey, you like the Weezer? I got the new Weezer for you.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yasmeen, hey. How were things with Dave?
Oh, that would have been better had it played.
It sure would have.
Oh, you think that would have been better?
Yeah.
Right, can I try it again?
Try it again. Yeah.
Should I set it up again?
New year. Brush off the dust. Hey,
Yasmeen, how were things with Dave?
Wow, you just rocked my world. It was the best sex I ever had.
See, I thought Yaz would back off from the story once we got her on the phone. She'd be like, oh, you guys, you don't admit something like that on the air to people that can hear you and judge you by that for the rest of your life, do you?
No.
This is not
a huge mistake.
All of the world is wrong as we know it.
I don't get it. I don't like it. But I will tell you this, coming up after the top of the hour at 7, highlights of the Band PAX and DJ Omar Khan guest appearance on Let's Paint, Make Blended Drinks, and Exercise on TV. So you got to hear this stuff coming up after 7. It's unbelievable.
Kim Kardashian is engaged to Reggie Bush.
No.
Really?
No.
27-year-old Kim Kardashian, according to OK Magazine, is engaged to her boyfriend, 22-year-old Heisman Trophy-winning football player Reggie Bush.
Well, apparently, we knew she liked the brothers, but I didn't even know those two were a couple.
I
apparently,
didn't either.
New Year's Eve, they were seen, and that's the story that they are engaged, according to OK Magazine.
Wow, that's fairly reliable. Interesting. Okay.
How about that?
Here's another couple that is now official. It's been rumored for some time, but now People Magazine this week is reporting for real that Hayden Panettiere and Milo Ventimiglia, they are, of course, co-stars on the TV show Heroes, are, in fact, a couple, met the families, love each other, everything's going great. By the way, I didn't realize that Miss Hayden, the cheerleader, is 18, Milo, 30. That's an age difference.
Wow.
30 and 18 30. Is an age difference.
Good
when
for
you're
him.
30 and 18, exactly.
Wow.
That's pretty hot. That is impressive until you realize that Dave nailed Yasmeen. And then all of a sudden, Milo getting Hayden, based on where he is and based on where she is, not that impressive.
That throws everything out.
It really does.
It just ruins everything as we know it.
We were talking to Harvey Levin a few minutes ago from TMZ.com, and he was talking about how Britney continues to melt down. This is a news story to me, anyway. Page 6, which is in the New York Post, says that the other night, Britney was going, here's the quote, she was going like 90 down Sunset, and on the PCH, she was going that fast for 15 to 20 minutes, says an eyewitness to New York Post's Page 6. A member of the paparazzi was arrested, in fact, trying to keep up. She was swerving and not paying attention to the cars in front of her. At one point, she sort of stepped on her brakes really suddenly, and you could hear her tires screeching.
Wow.
What is going on with this woman?
Bad things.
She heard about Dave and Yaz?
That's what it was.
Why live? Spinning out?
Why live? You know? Who had Misha Barton in the DUI pool?
Oh, no, I don't think any of us did.
No,
look at the pool.
We didn't have. We should have her because she weighs like a pound.
That's true. You're just a shot glass.
I did.
She's drunk.
You did.
No, you
not.
Did.
And,
yeah,
I had Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Really?
So I did.
Those look like they were just written in.
Oh.
Yeah, so that doesn't count. Sorry.
Nice.
They got her at, 3 o'clock in the morning? And weren't there some drug charges on that, too? She had something in the car. I think she's got more trouble than just weaving out there on the road, I think, Misha Barton does.
Oh, boy.
But I think you're right, Lisa. I think it takes a thimble to get her drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Golden Globes are coming up on January the 13th, but that's not the award that's in discussion here. Jennifer Garner has been named this year's West Virginian of the Year, ladies and gentlemen.
West Virginian of the Year?
She apparently lived in West Virginia for a time, starting when she was aged 4. She was actually born in Texas, but apparently that's a close enough association for her to be receiving the West Virginian of the Year. I can't imagine they have... Maybe I'm wrong, but do you think they have a lot of people vying for that honor every year?
It's probably her last year.
Jennifer Garner is going to put that right up there on the shelf with her Emmy, I guess. But anyway, Golden Globes are coming up on January the 13th. There is going to be a great deal of controversy unless there's a quick end to this writer's strike, because they are going to have the show, even though they're not allowed to use Writers Guild members to write the show. And there's going to be people are going to be watching to see who's willing to cross the picket line to appear on that program and to even attend the program. It's getting very, very ugly. I can't believe that we've been gone for all this time. We come back, there hasn't been any kind of movement on this writer's strike. Haven't even been talking. Yeah. It's bad, bad news. Of course, you may have heard by now that the talk shows are all coming back this week. I mean, they said, look, we're in solidarity and all, but we're losing just a boatload of money here.
Right.
So David Letterman's going to be back on the air tonight. Jay Leno, Jimmy Kimmel, Conan O'Brien, all returning on the air with new shows. Some of them, by the way, don't even have guests announced yet because it was so last minute. And it's a question of who's willing to appear on those shows, as you have to cross the picket line to get on them. But it'll be nice to have these programs back. Haven't heard yet about Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Hopefully they're not too far behind. Hopefully they'll get this strike settled.
The San Francisco Chronicle's gossip page over the weekend said that they saw at a club in Las Vegas Paris Hilton being kissed on the cheek by K-Fed.
Oh, my God.
Paris Hilton. K-Fed, Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton, K-Fed.
No.
That's the story.
That is not as surprising a couple as Dave and Yasmin.
That is correct.
Nothing is surprising after Dave and Yasmin.
The problem is that everything is new today. It's like the day after 9/11. You can't look at any story the same way through the prism of Dave. Of Yasmin, the hottest power couple in Hollywood.
What's that, Dave?
I'm just rad.
Yeah, exactly. let's make some time for Let's Paint TV. Let's cut this one short and come back with all that wonderful audio from the weekend. You're going to love it. Today's celebrity birthday is Kate Bosworth is 25 years old today. Actress Tia Carrere, 41. Gabrielle Carteris from Beverly Hills 90210 is 47 today. Christy Turlington, supermodel, 39. Mm-hmm. Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr., 40. I watched Jerry Maguire. I saw Jerry Maguire and Almost Famous. Had a Cameron Crowe Film Festival at my house over the weekend. Boy, was he great in Jerry Maguire.
They didn't take the Oscar away for that gay boat trip?
Well, the problem with Cuba is that was the last good movie he was in, unfortunately. But he was so great in that, and whatever happened to that kind of career momentum. And actor Dax Shepard is 33 today. Actor Taye Diggs, 36. Ralph will be back tomorrow, by the way. In the meantime, that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
At the end of last year, we were introduced to a cable access TV show called Let's Paint and Exercise and Mix Blended Drinks. And it's hosted by a guy by the name of John Kilduff. Here's a little bit of the audio that we had.
Yes, I'm your host, John Kilduff. We're going to get to painting. We're going to do some exercising. And, of course, we're going to make some wonderful blended drinks.
And I know juices are the way to go. You know, I mean,
definitely.
It keeps you healthy. And this is Santa Monica.
All right, man. Hello, caller.
Santa Monica.
All right.
Okay, so that's where that came from, by the way. A lot of people wanted to know, where did Santa Monica come from? The people prank calling this TV show. Mm-hmm. So Psycho Mike decided that he needed to be on this program.
Yeah.
Along with DJ Omar. And Psycho Mike has a band called Band Packs.
Yep.
And you were on when? When were you on this program?
Saturday afternoon.
Now, this is a guy who runs on a treadmill and is terribly out of breath.
And he's wearing a three-piece suit, too, usually, when he's on the treadmill. And he never stops for the whole show. For all 30 minutes of it, he's running on this treadmill while he's painting and making blended drinks.
And I guess his point is that you can be inspired to do whatever you want to do. But, he's really bad at running on a treadmill. You can tell he's out of shape. B, he's the worst painter I've ever seen. And C, the blended drinks blow.
Here's the thing about John Kilduff, though. You may watch this show. And this is, after Saturday, this is the one thing I came away with that I want to give back to the public. Is that you watch the show and you may think, well, this guy's just putting on an act.
Right.
John Kilduff, 100%, genuinely wants the public to be more motivated and do more with their life, and he sincerely believes that his show is helping, and he is 100% a real dude.
Really? Because
yes. But how is his show helping, though? I don't look at him and go, I'm going to aspire to be more like this guy on a cable access show.
He thinks that by multitasking in such a unique way that people can look at that and go, wow, well, I could do much more with my life, too. I mean, he really believes that.
Wow. All right. Take us through the thing.
We get there in Band Packs 1, which is our official automobile, a 1988 Cadillac limo that we all funneled in.
Okay.
And we get there, and we have to sign our contracts, and immediately we load up, and we start the show. And this is how Mr. Kilduff opens up.
Band Packs! All right, people.
Woo!
Band Packs! Max is in the house here on this Saturday morning. Wherever you're watching, Happy New Year to you all. Happy 08. If you're watching it in 2009 and you're celebrating 2009, happy 2009. This is a celebration of every year, forever and ever.
I'm sorry, was that DJ Omar Khan?
Yeah, I brought that little drop with me.
And he only played it about 70 times within the half-hour show.
Mike, did he skip the possibility of watching it in 2008?
Yeah,
why
2009?
Are you only watching either the end of 2007 or 2009? What's that about?
To be honest, I think Kilduff's cognitive function is affected by the fact that he's in horrible shape and is sprinting on a treadmill.
This is the funniest part, is that this is the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And he's so out of breath, he may not make it.
And by the way, you'll hear later on in this clip, he's going about 2 miles an hour. Omar's one who motivates him to try to go faster.
By the way, I brought a fog machine with me.
Right.
So before we start, he's all like, I don't know about that fog, you know, because I'm going to be, you know, running on the treadmill. So as soon as we start the show, I'm all blasting the fog.
Did he ask you to turn it down and you just cranked it?
Yeah, totally.
Nice.
It was
all right, here's the rest of the clip.
All right. Faster, John! Faster, John!
Omar.
It may have been a mistake to give Omar a microphone.
I brought my own PA.
You must. What time of the day was this?
11:45.
11. We started on air. It was
11 was morning.
Yeah.
Omar blasted out of his mind.
Hammered.
You gotta go faster.
And that was the theme of the whole show. Is Omar's a mental patient? Well, John Kilduff has a sidekick by the name of Inga.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Swedish exchange student, and
Dave's nailing her, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
This time she wasn't helping making blended drinks. She was making a New Year's pudding pie.
Okay.
And this is Inga.
Yeah.
Oh, Inga, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Inga's Swedish pudding.
Inga's pudding.
Inga's pudding. Inga's pudding. Inga's pudding. Inga's pudding.
All right, let's take another call here.
Yeah.
Hi, caller. Welcome to Let's Pay Cooking Outside's Blood Drinks.
Let's go.
Oh, what?
Okay. Did she say your name?
Yep. Yeah. And hung up.
And you're yelling?
Yeah.
So basically you got Psycho Mike going, what? Yeah. And Omar playing
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah.
Now, what's the deal? Because it's cable access, there's nobody screening these phone calls and there's no delay button. People just get on and say whatever they want,
it's
right?
Legal. It's legal. You can say the F word, you can say everything that you want
to
say.
Yeah, and, you won't be able to hear in the phone in the audio I sent in because the audio is so terrible, but I called in 3 times from inside the studio.
So if you want to watch this, you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. The links are up. There's 3 different links, I think, for what's going on. Okay, what's the next clip?
Inga's resolution for the new year.
Oh, I'm sure Inga has something, one of her own kind of resolution.
I would like to make enough money to get breast enlargement.
What? Yeah.
Are doing nothing but causing noise.
Yeah, dude.
This has ruined the show, is what this
well,
is.
Well, the studio's about 40 square feet, and you've got a full band, a couple producers, cameramen, DJ Omar Khan, John Kilduff, and a Swedish exchange student. So it got a little crazy.
Yeah, hear me rocking a little bit of the Rick James in there, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Kilduff decides to take some calls.
Is he upset with you guys? I mean, is he getting angry because you're clearly trying to sabotage this program?
He just rolls with everything. It's insane. You'll
doesn't
hear.
Bother him.
This is the truth.
It's
this
insane.
Is the truth.
It's insane. He like really thinks that we are getting our creative juices out there and is really like inspired by people getting their creativity going.
So what you two are doing, which is basically ruining his show, he thinks you're helping?
Uh-huh.
He thinks you're pushing?
He sprints out of the show. As soon as we finish taping, he sprints out. And Omar's like, oh, dude, he's mad at me.
Yeah.
He's mad at me, man.
Yeah.
Omar walks out. He's like,
DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, Kilduff, I'm sorry if I went a little bit overboard. And John Kilduff says to him, it was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. He goes, Omar, don't worry about it, buddy. Everybody wants to be a star.
All right, what's the next clip?
Couple callers.
What do you want to do in the year 2000? What's that?
You washed up has been.
Oh!
What did he say? I couldn't hear.
You washed up has been F.
Oh.
Kilduff, don't let him get you down. You're not a has been.
Hello, caller. You're on. What's your resolution?
Hi, you're not a has been because you never accomplished anything.
Oh! Okay.
Okay. Dear God, did you just stop playing? Why would you give Omar his own button?
So Omar,
J.O. Marcon.
One of the many times he interrupts the show, he interrupts and he says, John, I actually made a shirt for you and
I made
this
a shirt
show.
For the show. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, check it out.
All right.
Get out of here.
Now, let's make.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's make.
What do you think, John?
I like it. The creative process leads to more, if you will, because you're happy. And when you're happy, you get more laid.
Yeah, so I took a white shirt and I put Let's Paint on the front with a happy face and then on the back in big letters and F with the sad face on the bottom. And he was like, oh,
why is there
cool.
a sad face after the effing?
Because I thought he'd find it
oh,
sad.
Okay.
I
don't know. Right.
Inga finished with the pudding and went on to making Swedish meatballs.
More meatballs for everyone.
Someone told us when we were discussing Let's Paint TV last year that Inga is John's wife. Is that true, Mike? Can you verify?
Very much untrue.
Really?
Very
true.
Really? Yeah.
She's just an actress or what?
Listen, many a times when we were off camera, I went up to Killed Up and I was like, listen, you can. We're off camera now, off the record. Is this an act or is this an... Oh, no, no. Inga's real. Inga's real. I'm an artist. I just want to get my painting out there. And I'm telling you, he's legit because unless he's the greatest character actor... This
right.
side of Borat,
right?
It's legit because he stayed in character and Inga stayed in character for hours beforehand.
Inga
and
thinks
after.
She's helping and doing good work and blah blah blah.
I think so.
Wow,
I think so. Here's Inga's recap of the day's show and some more of Inga's pudding.
Well, let's just get a recap of what Inga did here today.
I make pie with a
pudding. Pie,
pudding pie with
pie.
Ball.
Pudding pie with balls. Pie with balls.
It is delicious.
Inga's pie! Inga's pie! Inga's pie!
You guys are doing everything you can to drive this man to an early grave, and he seems to like
he's
it.
He's all good with it, yeah.
It's funny you say that, drive him to an early grave, Kevin, because Omar officially almost killed us.
Uh-oh.
And I mean that literally.
What happened?
Well, we're wrapping up the show, and Kilduff points to Omar and to Banpacks, and he says, cut, cut, cut. He's doing this because he wants to wrap up the show. You're given a lot amount of time, and if
he wants his closing thoughts or whatever?
He wants to give his closing thoughts.
Okay.
So he cuts us, and he's giving his closing thoughts, and Omar thinks it's a great time to light off a big sheet of fireworks.
That's my man.
That's
my man.
Now, you know when really extreme things happen in your life? It can happen in a matter of seconds, but it seems like it's an eternity in your brain.
Sure.
Well, I'm standing behind Kilduff at this point. I'm helping him paint. Omar throws the fireworks down by my leg, and they're going to blow me up. And Omar's screaming, Mike,
I'm
Mike,
screaming
look.
Right because I decided to play as my music close, Kung Fu Fighting.
Okay.
So it's blaring, and Mike's playing his guitar and painting and stuff, and the firecrackers land on his foot.
Right.
And I'm thinking, OS, like, oh my God. And I'm like, Mike, move, move.
So I look down, and as I look down, I think to myself, those are fireworks on a sheet, a painting cloth that is soaked in paint thinner.
Oh, good.
And paint.
I didn't know.
I watched myself kick over the paint remover like 2 seconds before that. I kicked over the paint remover, and it's all over the floor and all over my leg.
Nice.
Oh my God. So this is all happening, and then the explosion. And you watch this on the video. It is the funniest part of the whole video. You have never seen true fear. Like John Kilduff when those explode in the studio. It is the funniest thing you'll ever see. Listen.
Okay, everybody. That's it. The show's over.
Oh, no.
Massive explosion. Massive, huge.
In a room the size of your kitchen, listeners,
I did
okay?
That specifically for Kevin.
Oh, that. Yeah. You rule.
Yeah.
You rule. We almost burned this place down just before the holidays.
Yeah,
Omar's fireworks.
Yeah.
Well, you will not be invited back.
I doubt that, actually. Yeah. I think Kilduff will have us anytime
and
we want.
And I'm so going to be there. I was out of town, but I did receive this phone call from Omar.
Hey, Kevin. This is Omar. You're a fat. Happy holidays. All right, Let's Paint TV and all that bullshit. It was, you. Pick up your cell phone.
We are back from vacation. This is a live show. It is the 2nd of January. We had a lot of stuff we wanted to make sure to take care of today. We already broke the big news about the new power couple in Hollywood. Dave, our phone screener, Dave the King of Mexico, and Yasmin, former Miss Double December. We already took care of that, right?
Yeah.
Did the highlights of Let's Paint TV from over the holidays. And one of the things we talked about doing before we went away, Kevin, was getting our man Yasser a TV show. And I think that's what's up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yasser, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Now, Yasser, we first met in the Slayer parking lot. We did the interviews, and this is up at krock.com as well. He's the guy that said,
Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat suck your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
Now, as you know, if you've listened to our program at all, we love that guy.
Yeah. I hear that guy, and I think America needs more of his positive
energy. That's right. Now, Yasser, you do have to watch your language.
I understand that.
Okay. You didn't last time. Okay. So you have an idea for a TV show, and we would like to help push it out there so that the powers that be can see what a brilliant idea it is. Doesn't really need writers, by the way.
Right.
Why don't you explain to them what your idea is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in. I like right. it.
Go ahead.
I'm coming to you live from Corona, California right now. Mm-hmm. And this TV show would be called Bow. Bachelor
Bow.
On Wheels.
Bachelor on Wheels. Okay.
Okay.
You'll get, like, girls in wheelchairs.
Because Yasser's in a wheelchair. We forgot to mention that. Okay.
Okay.
And then girls that walk, you know, like, that are not in wheelchairs, and they'd have to compete for my love.
So it's like Tila Tequila with guys and girls, only this would be wheelchair and non-wheelchair.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you should call the show Yeah.
So then what kinds of things, have you thought it through? What kinds of things would they be doing to try to win you the Bachelor?
Well, you know, you get like a competition show. Where, I mean, you, of course you'd have girls in wheelchairs that have to compete with girls that walk, so the competition would have to be different. But
yeah, like dancing. You could have a dance contest.
Well, you could get like the girls in wheelchairs, if their arms are good, you can get them on trapezes or something.
Okay.
And, you know, the chicks that walk got to swim a mile.
Dude, I would so be all over this show. I would watch it every single day.
Yeah, sir. How long have you been in a wheelchair?
Like 5 years.
And what's the story? What's the brief story behind how you got put there?
I was in a motorcycle accident.
Motorcycle accident. Okay. Now, do you have a preference for girls in wheelchairs because you guys have more in common, or do you prefer girls that can walk?
No, actually, I prefer girls that walk, but girls in a wheelchair, it's much of a hassle.
Okay, but yes, sir. If you're hoping to do a TV show where they compete, right. You might want to keep that close to the vest.
Yeah, you're really tipping your hand bit there.
Actually, I really haven't met any chicks in wheelchairs that, I don't know.
Okay, so they'll find some hot ones. They'll have them compete with girls that aren't in wheelchairs. And then at the end of the show, you'll pick one to be your lovely love for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I already have, like, things I'd say, like, at the elimination round, you know. Like,
okay.
The girls that you keep around, I'd say the bow is stiff. Would you like to stay on? Or the girls that walk and I got to eliminate them, I'd say, your bow is broke. Kick rocks.
I like it.
The girls in wheelchairs, I'd say, your bow is broke. Make gravel travel. You know, so they can't really kick rocks.
Really? Is that true? They can't kick rocks?
Yeah, they can't kick rocks.
So you put some work into this, yeah? So you've got all your catchphrases and everything.
I'm telling you.
Dude.
I'm impressed.
Hey, yes, sir. I love the Friday Night Lights TV show. I don't know if you watched that one or not, but one of the main characters, who is the former high school star quarterback, ends up in a wheelchair after an accident on a football field. And he discovers that there's this website out there of girls who are attracted to guys in wheelchairs, girls who that turns on, like they're really into them. Have you ever heard of anything like that before?
Well, I think I get it a lot. You know, sometimes it's, you know, it's called sympathy sex, you know.
Fantastic.
With guys in wheelchairs, we talk about it and... Once a girl gets a little sauced, you know, she thinks that she could just take control of a guy in a wheelchair because, you know, we ain't going to run away or nothing.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
All you got to do is hold back one arm and we're stuck.
That's a good tip.
All right. See, these are the kind of vignettes throughout the show, though, where Yasser can explain to the rest of us what it means, how it all really works.
Dude,
I like it.
Dude, we have all sat in front of our TV and flipped and flipped and flipped through the 2,000 channels and not been able to find one thing we want to watch. This is the program.
Absolutely.
Bow, Bachelor on Wheels. Contact us here at K-Rock. We will put you in touch with Yasser because we would like to see him get his own TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in touch with me at MySpace, too.
Okay.
MySpace.com/FunnyGuy951.
Funny guy 951.
And wouldn't the dream of all dreams be this show goes and you somehow get Slayer to do the theme song, Yasser?
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it, man. Tom Araya, Kerry King, all them guys coming out. It'd be cool, man. It'd be cool.
All right, Yasser. Well, we hope things work out. We're going to try and we're going to use our considerable influence and try and make it happen.
Hey, thanks, K-Rock, for having me on, and hopefully I'll see you in some more parking lots.
All right, man.
I hope so, too. Happy
yeah!
New Year.
Yeah!
All right, Yasser. We got to
go. Yeah!
All right.
F*** everybody!
Okay, that's
you!
Fine.
All right. Eat
okay.
Suck
all right.
F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die. Right. F*** your mom. Yeah.
Woman has stabbed her husband with a kitchen knife in an argument that started when she accused him of opening a Christmas present early. We'll tell you more of that story coming up after 8 o'clock and take your stories of holidays gone wrong. You know, every year it happens where the holidays come along and you think they're going to be great. They don't turn out to be that way. And we love to hear your stories of misfortune. That'll be coming up after 8 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Well, the bigger the expectation, you know, the bigger the fall.
Of course.
It's always funny that way. We were having construction all last year at our house. And just jackhammering and dust everywhere and hammering and noise and probably 5 or 6 months.
Oh, that's miserable.
It's just such a nightmare. But it finally was finished. And it was a nice, lovely Christmas Eve. And we were out in front. And you know in scary movies, every once in a while, when you look out of a window and you see a lightning storm, like it's bright, dark, that's kind of freaking you out. We were out in front of the house and looked at our house, which was now finished and worker-free. And the lights were doing that inside the house. There was like a lightning storm inside the house. On, off, all of them.
Really?
Throughout the house.
That sounds like a wiring problem.
So we started laughing because, you know, we just spent 6 months under construction. And they were done and everybody was out and now the place was going crazy. Lights flashing in every single room.
We went in, bizarre.
We started like breakdancing and doing the robot and stuff because it was too...
Where was DJ Omar Khan when you needed him?
That's a great question. And we tried to figure out what it was. You know what it was? Goddamn energy-saving light bulbs. Know what you can't do with them? Dimmer switch.
Oh.
Can't do that.
But why would you need to dimmer switch them? They still shouldn't be flashing on and off.
They still
should come on and stay on.
That's what you would think, wouldn't it?
I've got 100 of them, and they don't flash.
Hey, I got news
on
for you.
On dimmer switches?
I don't have dimmer switches.
Well, I think that was our problem.
When my dryer is on, the lights with the with those bulbs in it flash off and on.
Okay.
I have no idea why.
Okay, here's my point. And here's my other point, by the way. The goddamn energy-saving light bulbs. I told you before how we had them in the house, and they actually subtract light from the room.
They do not, though.
The room is less light than if you had no light bulb.
Well, you're not buying a big enough wattage, then. You need to buy brighter bulbs.
A. B, they say they'll last 7-8 years. What's their claim?
13 times more than a regular bulb.
13 times more. You know how many I've replaced in the last 4 months? Probably 6. No exaggeration.
I've replaced 2.
Thank you. They don't last anywhere near what they say
they do. I thought a lamp was broken. Because after having that bulb in there for 2 months, it stopped working. And I thought, well, it can't be the bulb.
Can't be the bulb.
13 years.
They told us these bulbs will last forever. And they don't use up any energy. You know why? There's no light. And they break after a couple of months.
Today, I'm so excited.
So I'm really angry at the energy bulbs. And I just want to go through the house and I just want to tear them all out, right?
I have a few problems.
Now, about a couple of days later, I happened to be at a party and had a celebrity sighting. And I was still on fire about the light bulbs. I can't stand the light bulbs. I want to replace the light bulbs. Light bulbs got to go. This sucks.
Please tell me it was Al Gore. Please tell me it was Al Gore.
It was Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
All right.
And I guess his ex-wife.
His soon-to-be ex-wife is super big into this environmental movement. Yes.
And the topic comes up. And he says something about the energy bulbs. I was like, boy, those are just a pain in the ass. And he says something to the effect of, yeah, but it's worth it, you know, to save the environment. And without thinking, like, I didn't realize I was talking to him or anything.
You were just flapping your gums.
I was like, absolutely not. Not worth it. Not one bit. Way, way, way not worth it. And he looked at me like, what?
And I said, you're so going to be written in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And I said, those bulbs, they burn out. You got to buy new ones in like 2 months. They don't put out light and they flicker on and off all the time. Those lights blow. I know, but for the environment, nope, too much.
That's our Kevin.
Too much. That's too much to ask. Die, Earth.
And what did he say? What did he say to that? What was his comeback to that?
I don't know. He just walked away. I
of
mean,
course
he, thought,
he did.
He had to think I was a lunatic because
you're going to so be in an episode. Hey, I have not. I don't have dimmer switches, and maybe that's why I haven't experienced the strobe light effect. But is that? I mean, have you looked that up? Is that you can't
that's
use our, them? In,
that's what they say. I don't know. How am I supposed to know?
Well, I'm saying if I mean, is that what's happening? Is you're putting them in sockets on a dimmer switch, and that's why they're reacting the way they are?
I guess. Lightning, do you know the answer to that?
They're not made to go on dimmers. They can only operate on one certain voltage. There's a little ballast inside.
Okay, it'll bite me. How listen, hard do I have to work for my life?
Hey, listen, but Gonad, they sell one specifically for dimmer switches.
Okay, I'm going to go out and buy all new ones now. The bulbs that I hate because you have to replace them, and they don't put out light. Now I have to go buy a new one to put on a dimmer switch.
Wow. Okay,
F these bulbs. They blow.
K-Rock Lister suggests that you can buy the bulbs designed for dimmer switches. As Lightning says, it will say dimmer safe on the box. And those
sure.
Are the ones
I'm going to go out and spend more money on those bulbs.
But why don't you buy them that are enough wattage that they put out enough light for you so that you don't
How
feel like you're
I
in the dark?
How about if I buy bulbs that are normal and I can see my way around the house?
Okay,
how about
just
that?
I hear what you're saying.
Al Gore and his just goddamn so energy-saving light bulbs.
Just so you know that they're not going to make those old light bulbs soon. I mean, those light bulbs are being phased out. Soon, the only bulbs you'll be able to 10, buy will be
the CF.
Today,
then.
You're going to stock up. Underwear.
I'm going to stock up with my underwear. I'm going to have a warehouse full of old lights that, you know what, turn on and stay on till you turn them off.
Lightus, if you're listening, you got a lot of driving around to Home Depots to do after the show today. Psycho Mike was just telling me that was the number one song on K-Rock for 2007. And we're very excited to tell you that we're only a couple of weeks away from the long-awaited Breakfast with Foo Fighters. If that sounds good to you, keep listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We will have more details very, very soon and give you a chance to win your way in. Tell me that one's not going to be fun.
He's so good. Always funny. Always great live. So that's
so is Taylor. Great band. Great. Should be a real good time. Ralph Garman does still work on The Kevin and Bean Show, but apparently at his leisure, at his convenience, when it doesn't interfere with his plans.
Yeah.
So we think he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, here's a quick look at the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Box office over the weekend, Hollywood is so happy. They may not be happy about this writer's strike continuing, but they're certainly happy about the box office at the end of the year because the movies are just making so much cash. National Treasure, Book of Secrets, which came out when? On Christmas Day?
I think so, yeah.
Has already made $143 million.
Oh,
this is a movie with Nick Cage in it, people.
It is.
What's going on with you?
And the first one was not good, although it did make money.
Yeah.
It made a decent amount of money,
I
think.
It did.
Yeah. Anyway, that's number one for the second weekend in a row at the box office. Number two is Alvin and the Chipmunks. Tell me there aren't a lot of parents who are going to be so happy to have the kids back in school this week.
No kidding. Instead
of having to look for ways to entertain them over the holidays. That's a movie, by the way, that's made $154 million. It's the freaking Chipmunks.
Wow.
We were making fun of Jason Lee for doing that movie when it came out, and now look at him.
Yep,
box office gold. Will Smith's I Am Legend continues to be a monster hit. It's crossed the $200 million mark. That's at number three, and that's just in America. His movies do even better overseas. It's made that much and more around the world. Charlie Wilson's War. Kevin, you saw that one over the holidays?
It's really good. I didn't realize at the time, because I'm oblivious, that what's his name wrote it.
Who did?
Aaron Sorkin. Creator of The West Wing, yeah.
And I remember thinking while I was watching it, this dialogue seems so great. Like, it's like you would want to talk if you were smart. You know, that kind of thing.
That's what he excels at. Yeah. And that's a true story, that Charlie Wilson's War, too. You know?
Amazing story.
Amazing story, yeah. Number five is a movie we've all seen that we can't give thumbs up enough about. It's called Juno. If you haven't checked that one out yet, it's very, very funny. Mm-hmm. That was number five at the box office over the weekend. Then Alien vs. Predator, P.S. I Love You, Sweeney Todd, Kevin Goes to a Musical. That was number eight at the box office over the weekend.
I love my knife. I'm going to cut your throat. The hell? I'm the only person in America, I'm convinced, because everybody that I tell thinks I'm an idiot. Didn't know it was a musical.
You're an idiot.
Didn't have any idea.
Well,
musical goes in one ear and out the other. I don't pay any attention. I know Johnny Depp. I'm going to go see it. Looks like blood. Fantastic.
All the stories are about him getting in a studio and practicing and singing.
Don't read those stories. Don't pay any attention.
I didn't.
You didn't know?
Really?
Fantastic.
Because this is a big monster hit on Broadway for a long, long time.
Never went.
Stephen Sondheim, who's a famous, famous playwright who wrote it. So, number eight. Enchanted number nine, and then the new Denzel Washington, The Great Debaters, is what's rounding out the top ten at the box office.
There's a magazine called Celebrity Autograph. I don't know who would get it. I don't know why you would get it. But they came out with a list of celebrities who are the best at signing autographs and the worst.
Okay.
So I guess you're going to have a bad time if you walk up to these people and ask for an autograph, or a great time. On the top 10, Russell Crowe is number 10, by the way. On the best.
Good.
As the good signers.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah. Dakota Fanning, number 9. Jay Leno, number 8. Katherine Heigl, number 7. John Travolta, 6. Rosario Dawson, 5. Jack Nicholson, 4. George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Johnny Depp might surprise you as the best autograph giver.
And by the way, look at the names at the top of that list. Biggest stars in Hollywood. Johnny Depp, Matt Damon, George Clooney, Jack Nicholson. I mean, you would think those would be the guys who would say, don't need it. But instead, they give back to their fans. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they're so popular.
But the 10 worst, according to the magazine, which I don't believe some of. I just refuse to believe it. Number 10 is Scarlett Johansson. How dare you?
I have heard she does not sign autographs.
And
I have heard
that. Damn whore. I know for a fact. Remember? We know.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we know.
You're dumb whore.
Number 9, Terry Hatcher.
Huh.
Number 8,
that
Bruce Willis.
Me.
Number 7, Julie Andrews. Number 6, who's asking Julie Andrews for an autograph?
Well,
number
6,
like
her.
John Malkovich. Number 5, Renee Zellweger. Number 4, William Shatner. This is on the worst list.
Really?
Are you serious?
Number 3, Joaquin Phoenix. Number 2, Tobey Maguire. And the worst autographed giver as a celebrity, I don't buy for a second, but we'll have to ask next time he's on, Will Ferrell.
No.
How is that even possible?
That doesn't seem possible.
That's their list. The worst celebrity to ask for an autograph.
There are some celebrities, by the way, and this has been a phenomenon in recent years with the resale of them, that people just don't want to sign them because they know they're just going to go up on eBay or they're just going to be sold to one of those shops down on Hollywood Boulevard that sells autographs. And they don't mind signing them for a fan, somebody who it means something to, but they just don't want to be contributing to that, way to make people's income.
Yeah,
so,
I understand.
You can't
find
that stuff on eBay all the time. People got signatures,
absolutely,
put them right up.
Hey, I sign a lot of those things. You know what I mean? I got to make quite a lucrative career out of it.
That's Russell Crowe.
Who's going to know? All right, we don't have much time, but we can't let the showbiz beat go by without mentioning the writer's strike again. This is great news for fans of the late-night talk shows. David Letterman and Craig Ferguson have made a deal through their Worldwide Pants company that produces both shows to, I guess they got the writers to agree to a contract. So those people are still in good standing with the Writers Guild, even though the rest of the Writers Guild is still on strike. So those shows are going to be back. Some of the other shows have not yet made a deal, so you'll be crossing a picket line if you go on the Jay Leno show or the Jimmy Kimmel show or the Conan O'Brien show. But those shows are all going to be back, too. I was asking last hour about Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Kara Klister reminds me that they're always off the first week of the year, but they will return next year. So both of those shows will be back next Monday.
It's good to have, watch Leno, but it's good to have Letterman and Kimmel back.
Definitely.
Conan O'Brien and Carson Daly, Craig Ferguson, all those shows back new tonight.
Yeah.
Next up, though, is going to be the Golden Globes controversy. That show is right around the corner, January 13th. They asked for a waiver from the Writers Guild so that they could use writers to put the show on. The Writers Guild said no. So now there's going to be a confrontation on the red carpet about who else, who's going to walk the picket line, who's going to break the picket line, who's going to show up, who's not. But the show is going to go on as planned on January 13th. But it's going to be really interesting if the stars can get together and boycott it. Because how do you put a show like that on if you don't have celebrities in attendance?
Here's an idea, and I may not be the smartest guy in the room, but how about getting back together and talking, a-holes?
There's a thought.
How about that?
And I got one quick story about Paul McCartney and Heather Mills. Paul had heart surgery over the holidays. Apparently he had a coronary angioplasty. What is he, about 65 or something like that?
That sounds about right.
I'd say so, yeah.
Seems like he's in good health and recovered well enough to do a duet on a television show with Kylie Minogue on New Year's Eve.
Oh.
How was Heather Mills, his ex, celebrating New Year's? She had a big party. She blew $60,000 on her New Year's Eve party.
Oh, good.
Which ended with a $30,000 fireworks display.
Oh, you know how much I love the fireworks, but I can't be down with Heather Mills.
I know, exactly. It would be awesome if she blew off her other leg. That'd just be one of the freakiest, coolest stories ever if that would happen. Anyway, so that's how the stars spend their holidays. Today's celebrity birthdays, Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr. is 40 years old today. I forgot that he was in American Gangster just last month.
Oh, that's right.
And we had a very small part, but it was not embarrassing. Which is new for him.
That's right.
Usually he's a gay guy on a boat or something. But Cuba Gooding Jr. turns 40 today. Supermodel Christy Turlington is 39. Kate Bosworth, 25. Oh. Another hottie, Tia Carrera. Probably still best known, I think, from the Wayne's World movies, would you say?
Yeah.
She's 41 years old today. Actor Taye Diggs is 36. And Dax Shepard, who is an actor of some questionable talent, in my opinion, and is currently banging Kristen Bell. from Heroes.
Wow.
Dave would be so upset right now if he didn't have somebody hotter than Dax does. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
We're live from New York, and there are over 6,000 police keeping everybody safe and sound tonight.
All right,
when
Dick.
The clock hits midnight.
The what? I'm sorry, the what?
The clock. When the clock hits midnight.
We do have highlights of the great... Great Dick Clark coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning from his New Year's Eve show. Yeah, they trotted his 80-year-old stroke ass out there again for ratings gold. So anyway, we got some highlights, some tape of that coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about holidays gone wrong. We try to do this pretty much every time there's any kind of a big holiday, whether it be Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, whatever. If you have big expectations, which most people do, they build up those holidays, you know, to bigger than they should be. They could go terribly south. And Dave, the King of Mexico, in between banging former Miss Double December Yasmin over the holidays, found this article from the AP. An American woman has stabbed her husband with a kitchen knife in an argument that started when she accused him of opening a Christmas present early.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to abide by tradition, Kevin. You can't just go opening presents willy-nilly. You expect to be stabbed.
This guy, Sean Johnson, told police that his wife started arguing with him over opening a Christmas present. The argument escalated. She grabbed a kitchen knife and stabbed him.
That'll teach Beautiful. Him.
That's right.
Police
so
detective
got a story
said
to tell.
Police detective David Thompson said he did not know what the present was or if it was intended for the husband. Maybe it wasn't even his. You got to stab somebody if they open the wrong present. I mean, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's fair. I don't think there's a court in the land that would convict you of that. And here's what's great about the holiday stories. And again, we're going to take your calls if the phones still work after the break at 1-800-520-1067. What's great is if you had interviewed them, if you had talked to Misty and Sean that morning, and they're newlyweds, by the way. They just got married in September, which I think makes this even more awesome. And you would have said, what are your plans for today? They would have said, we're just happy to be together. We just love the fact that it's the holidays. We're just really excited about exchanging our gifts. Nobody ever sees this coming. I'm going to give you another example. Hey, guys, let's go to the San Francisco Zoo and peep out the tigers for Christmas Day. That's a family. That's a group of kids who said, I got a plan. I know how I'm going to spend my holidays. It's going to be fun. What could possibly go wrong? You're pretty safe in a zoo, right?
And one of the tigers got out, killed a dude. My God. Can you imagine walking through a zoo and seeing a tiger coming at you?
I cannot. I don't think, I mean, that's still under investigation. We still don't know what they were doing. I mean, there's rumors that they were taunting the cat and the whole, they found a slingshot and they were drunk and the whole deal. But when you talk about holiday expectations, I don't think that one ended up the way they expected. One guy's dead, the other two, serious mauls and bites and scratches. I mean, that's not what they planned for their Christmas 2007.
This guy certainly didn't plan to get stabbed in the chest. I mean, she didn't even stab his hand or something. She went right for the chest.
She was done with him.
So 1-800-520-1067. It could be Christmas. It could be New Year's. A lot of things could go wrong over the holidays. And we're going to take your calls.
Look at former Miss Double December Yasmin. Look at what she was hoping to get out of her holidays. And look what she ended up with instead. I mean, talk about your disappointment.
Look how poorly things went for her. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Taking your calls on holidays gone wrong. Over Christmas or New Year's, you had a disaster happen to you, and we want you to share it with us so that we can laugh at you. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Roger on line 3. He is in Hollywood. Roger, good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
What happened, dude?
Come on.
Yes!
If that's the first call we're going to take today, then I'm happy with it. Beautiful.
Oh, that makes us way too happy.
Jackie is in Whittier on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jackie, holiday's gone wrong. What happened?
Hi, good morning. It was 1 year, it was Christmas, and we usually just have dinner, and then we open our presents at 12. Well, my grandma said we all had to go to church before we had dinner, so we all get in the car, go to church. We come back. As soon as we drive up, we jump out of the car because we're starving, right? We're like, we don't want to go to church.
Right.
And we're at the door. The neighbor comes around. He's like, hey, your grandma's on the floor. And my aunt had, like, a lifted Suburban. So we're like, what? We go around to the car. My grandma, nobody bothers to help her out of the car. So she fell out of the car. Her ankle was broken.
Oh, no.
It wasn't, like, broken, like, just, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, her entire ankle was facing
Shattered?
The left.
Oh.
It was just, like, it hurt to look at it.
So God. you guys all ran into the house to eat and to open gifts, and you left Grandma in the car, and she tried to get out on her own.
Right, and we started, like, like you were sitting next to her. Like, why didn't you help her out? You were, you knew, you were the last one out of the car. Like,
yes, I hope you all started throwing punches.
this is exactly what the baby Jesus had in mind.
That's right. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to, boy, I don't want to go to Kevin.
You have to.
Let's go to Crystal first. Crystal in Newport Beach, good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
You too. What happened over the holidays?
Well, it was actually this New Year's morning that I kind of messed up a little bit. We were all drinking, having a good time, hanging out with the neighbors, my boyfriend and I. And it just passed 12 o'clock, you know, we're celebrating, and we decided to walk out front, and my boyfriend is extremely wasted, and he thought it would be really funny to knock and hit my truck to make my alarm go off.
Right.
And I'm going, okay, haha, you're funny, and he keeps doing it, and I'm like, you know, okay, you want to play? So I walk over to his truck, and I kicked it, and I shattered his front light.
Excellent.
Oh, dude.
Good times.
Yeah, he was not too happy about that.
So this is the very first few minutes of 2008, and you're standing outside drunk, kicking out the headlights on your boyfriend's truck.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. He's got a good one. Technically, I guess that's what happened. Yeah.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Well done.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Cheryl in Laguna Niguel on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, talking about holiday disasters. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Hi, guys.
Hello.
What happened?
Oh, I ruined New Year's.
Yes!
I totally did. I had a drunken, emotional, angry meltdown right after New Year's.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've just been angry, I guess, for a while at my husband. And little things he was doing was setting me off. And I finally just started telling him off in front of his family, his friends.
Good.
I pushed him, I shoved him, I got in his face.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I told everyone the story about how he peed on me when he was drunk. I did. I sat in a corner and cried, and it was horrible.
Now, how did his family and friends react to that?
They just didn't know what to do. I mean, they're my friends, too, but I think I was blaming them for a lot of it, too. Some of the guys there were in our wedding, and I was blaming them for things gone wrong. And
wow, no one escaped, really, the wrath of Cheryl.
You're a hell of a drinker.
you had a lot of unresolved issues that needed to be settled. Now, do you feel like that was cathartic to get that out, and now you could move on in 2008 and things will be smoother, or what?
I think so. I need to get better at beer pong, because that really set me off, too, that I was losing.
That can do it. If you're behind at beer pong, there's nothing more angry. Thank you, Cheryl, for the call.
Wow.
Make a note not to date Cheryl, by the way. Hey, listen to this. This is from Eric in L.A. I'm at work. I can't call in, so I thought I'd email you guys instead. My wife and I are huge hockey fans. Every once in a while, we rent an ice rink out to play. So this Christmas, they went to Ontario. We treated ourselves to a couple of hours of ice hockey in the morning before enjoying the holiday that evening. Little did we know that we were playing the game and we were slowly being poisoned with carbon monoxide.
Cool.
Apparently they had something going on with the ice lawnmower, some sort of equipment or something that was there. We ended up in the emergency room and hospitalized overnight. We weren't released until the next day, 24 hours later. So much for Christmas this year. How crazy is that?
Wow.
You're out there playing hockey and you're slowly dying. Merry Christmas.
No kidding. That is not that's not good. I don't want to go to Kevin. Don't make me go to
Gotta
Kevin.
Gotta go to Kevin.
Let's talk to
Come on, let's start off 2008 the right way. Let's do Kevin.
This
come
happened
Kevin
to my boyfriend Clement too.
It happened to your boyfriend too?
Yeah, so he didn't join me for New Year's Eve.
Oh no.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin San Clemente, good morning.
Hey guys. It started on Sunday. Explosive diarrhea and vomiting.
Come on, everybody.
Excellent.
It started from Sunday until basically yesterday morning.
Oh,
so you were the guy that was locking himself in the bathroom all weekend long.
I couldn't eat. I couldn't even drink water.
All day Monday, all day Tuesday.
Oh, that was
what
sad.
Happened? What do you suppose? I mean, do you know where it started and how?
I went to the doctor and he said I had stomach flu, but every time I throw up, I basically crap myself. And then.
Hey, happy New Year, everybody.
That was good times.
Your New Year cannot be worse. That's the good news for you.
That's true.
Yep.
That's it.
And you started off this year 10 pounds lighter than you ended up last year, too, which is good news.
I lost 5 pounds.
There you go.
Oh, yay.
There you go. Beautiful. All things are working well. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Bean, for making me go to that. Remember Nick, the window licker?
Of course.
I do not. I'm sorry.
He sent a couple of emails over the holidays, and I was able to make it through chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4.
You're a better man than I.
And I had to take a break, and then I had to come back for the next 100 pages.
Wow.
And I still haven't finished. I don't know what the story is, but
I can summarize. Hi, Nick. How you doing? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm a writer at heart, so I always have a lot to say, you know?
Yeah.
You do. About 100 pages of single spaced, like tiny little font. Just, I can summarize what Nick is saying,
good,
Kevin.
Good.
And that is that 2007, Nick 2.0, was not everything he hoped it would be,
okay,
but he believes that
it was a failure.
It was a disappointment, right?
It was crap.
Okay.
He believes that 2008 is going to be his year, and he wanted to come on to announce Nick 3.0, and that's why he's here today.
Yeah.
I started skimming after I got through the first four chapters, and I came across why didn't you guys tell me the Killers were going to be the surprise at Acoustic? I would have bought tickets.
Yeah, try to get tickets if I knew the Killers were going to be there.
Right, but that's what a surprise is, Nick.
Yeah, but if you have the Killers, you want to, like, announce it to
no,
everyone.
We want to just turn the stage and have people... never mind. All right, listen.
It was cool. Nick, what was the problem with 2007? You said it was a disappointment. How come?
Just a lot of bad things happened. Personally, just a lot of bad stuff happened. I didn't feel like myself a lot of the time, because you know me. I'm happy and fun and excited and optimistic, and I wasn't those things for a lot of last year.
Well, you had a camera follow you around.
There were some good things, too, because no year is all good and all bad. But,
sure.
You know, because I did like the reality show, but just a lot of bad stuff happened.
Well, yeah, but the reality show, while it may have been fun to make, never aired.
That's true. That was a disappointment.
So that might be disappointing, yeah.
What about losing your virginity in 2007? You have to point to that as one of the high points.
Yeah, I don't even remember her name.
Yeah, but it's a goal met. It was a goal you had, and you achieved it.
Yeah, but I want the next time to be better, you know?
What do you expect
from
a Tijuana hooker, dude? If you're going to go to Tijuana to get a hooker, then maybe it's not going to be the best sex of your life.
Going back to Mexico. That country is way too shady to be trusted.
The whole country is shady. All right.
But Lisa makes a great point. That was one of your goals. When we talked to you a year ago, you said one of your goals for 2007 was going to be to lose your virginity. And you did that. Now you can build on that and make 2008 great.
Yes, just the whole other virginity crap is gone. Don't have to deal with it anymore. Yeah, this is going to be a great year.
Part of the problem might be your attitude, though, Nick, because when we talked to you right after you went to the Tijuana hooker, you told us you were over sex, over it.
I still want it.
That's not what you said, dude.
No.
You said over it.
It was sort of like, okay, done with that.
Yeah.
I was in a bad place. Tijuana,
I know.
Listen now, man. We are in the now. We're already breaking down the ideas of what is possible. I mean, Dave and Yasmin, seriously.
No kidding.
Seriously.
Oh, that has to kill you. That has to just destroy you to see Dave end up with a hottie like Yasmin.
It's sad.
Those of you guys didn't hear that, you might just be tuning in. We're back from vacation. Over the vacation, Dave the King of Mexico had sex twice with Yasmin, Miss Double December 2006. She went back for more. Boy, that's hard to believe. All right,
sure,
so Nick,
is.
How's Nick 3.0 going to be different from 2.0?
Feel better. I just feel good. I had a great holiday. This is the best I felt in months. Seriously.
Okay.
I just feel good. I feel like myself again, you know?
Now you're going to finish your screenplay?
I will. This year. I'm going to unveil it this year. It's going to be awesome.
Okay. All right.
I just want to say, it is not going to suck. I promise you, it will not suck.
Nick,
I've been working on that thing since high school.
Yeah, I know. But when we were at the, I think it was Dodger Day or someplace like that, you were explaining to us what the movie was about.
Look, again, I was stoned at the time.
It took you maybe an hour, and we didn't understand a bit of it.
It's going to be good. Look, I'll tell you this much. You won't find it boring. There's hot chicks and violence in it.
Hot chicks and violence. Okay.
Yeah.
Two things you know a lot about. Okay.
You know, in Nick's defense, though, Kevin, if somebody had explained Pan's Labyrinth to you or The Matrix to you, I mean, some movies really are just difficult to explain in a few words.
Too. I know you guys said, you know, I have a new title.
Wait a minute. What was the title? I don't remember.
That's the old title. The new title.
What was the old title first?
It was called Valhalla. That kind of takes place. It's a fantasy story, and it's kind of like where it takes place. No one understood the title,
okay.
Obviously.
So what's the new one?
New title is called The Salvation.
The Salvation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That's a
good
title.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, 150,000 words into your Unabomber manifesto that you sent to us, you said that everything is going to be funnier, cooler, sexier, and all around happier for you this year. You still believe that?
It already is.
Look at that. Good attitude
okay.
for January 2nd.
I'm serious. I feel great. This is the best I've felt in months.
Well, that's what you need to go by is how you feel, because that's the way to make sure.
I feel like, you know, myself again.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, good.
Nick,
okay.
Fell in love with.
Well, no one really liked that one, that Nick, just so you know. But are you going to...
It's just going to be good. It's going to be fun and awesome, and you're going to like it.
Okay.
What about your job at the cell phone store? How's that going for you?
Well, I'm still there.
Right.
Shoot, you know what? I put in a lot of applications over, like, the fall. I even had a couple of interviews.
Right.
I've accepted the fact that I'm going to leave this job when the time is right. When it's meant to be, it'll be.
I see. So never.
I'll keep putting out applications and doing, you know. I mean, even on a resume. I put you guys on it.
Nope.
I put you guys on my resume.
But how are we on your resume? What are we?
We've never worked with you.
Personal stuff. Because, you know, if they know that they're hiring Nick the sign holder, you know.
But what if people call us and ask us about you? What are we supposed to say?
Just say good things.
No!
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Nick, when you say you're going to leave the cell phone job when the time is right, what you mean is when you get another job. That's when the time is right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just
want
to make sure I understand.
It's not entirely in my hands. I mean, I still have to be interviewed. They still have to actually hire me.
That's right. True.
Okay, I understand.
That is true. It's not entirely in your hands. I mean, you can get out there as much as possible and just see what happens.
I'd like to work in a bookstore, you know? Just a nice, quiet, laid-back atmosphere.
You're shooting for a bookstore.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's be realistic. I've been a sign holder for a while. I mean, you know, not going to get work at Warner Brothers, like, right away. You
right.
Know?
You just want smaller letters in your job. That's all.
No, we're just you know, bookstore would be nice.
All right.
I'd like that.
Okay. Well, listen, here's what I'm going to say, and I think Kevin touched on this a little bit. Your attitude is important, and I'm glad that you have positive feelings, and I'm glad that you have a lot of anticipation and expectation for 2008. But that's not enough. I mean, you really do have to act, and this is true for everybody listening that wants to change their life. You've got to do things to make those changes happen. You can't just sit around and wait for somebody to come knock on your door.
100%. There's going to be a lot less whining and a whole lot more doing.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Look at that. Come on.
All right.
Now, one last question, Nick. The writer's strike, how's that hitting you?
I miss my shows. You know, I like, you know, Heroes, and I like The Office, and I like Chuck. It's just like a new show. It's my favorite new show. It sucks not having these shows. I miss them.
Kevin, man, as a writer, though, where are your alliances?
Well, with the writers, obviously. You know,
okay.
I would never be a scab. I would never, like, you know, go in when, like, someone's down just, you know, trying to cheaply take advantage of it.
Are you working on your screenplay during the strike?
I am, but no one owns it except for me. No one has bought it. It is my property as of right now.
So it's all right if you write.
What?
Oh, I see. All right.
Okay. All right. So, Nick 3.0, what's the next we're going to hear from you? What's the next? What's the big news that you're going to have for us within a few months with this new and improved life?
Well, hopefully, you know, I have a finished screenplay and you guys can read it.
All right.
You will love it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to guarantee it's going to be great. I'm just going to say it's going to be very entertaining.
Can you try your best to make it, like, less than 4,000 pages?
It's my apocalypse now, and I know that's...
that's the first movie you want to write.
That's where you want to start. Absolutely.
No, I could have very easily written something, you know, that wasn't as long and wasn't as challenging. This has been incredibly challenging. But
right.
It's like,
but I'm saying if we're going to read a screenplay, we have to be able to do it less than a week.
A lot of authors, you know, start with short stories.
Yes.
And to move into novels.
This is like 10 years worth of work here. This is like.
But you can't penalize us for that.
Look, hot chicks and violence.
All right. That's what you ought to call it, by the way. Screw your salvation. Call it hot chicks and violence.
Hot chicks and violence.
Kevin, nobody said to Tolkien, why don't you just make it one ring story? Why does it have to be three? I mean, let the guy's an artiste, all right?
All right.
Let it bloom. Let's see what happens.
Yes,
all right,
yes.
Nick 3.0, I'm glad we got a chance to catch up, and I hope we hear good things. I hope it's going to be an awesome year for you and everybody, so I'm glad you came on. Good luck to you, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right, here's what I want more of from you, Nick.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so up tonight. I'm like mother super.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
All right, thank you.
That's our motto.
Time for that right now.
More from Dick Clark, who they trotted out for New Year's Eve on ABC again this year, coming up next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll talk to the happy new couple. They're called Dasmeen together. That's what they're already being known as on TMZ. Dave, the King of Mexico, and Yasmeen, former Miss Double December, apparently got together over the weekend, over the holiday, I guess I should say. And we'll talk to them coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, too.
Speaking of people getting together over the holidays, Reggie Bush, former USC running back, now plays for New Orleans.
Right.
Kim Kardashian.
No way.
Engaged.
How long till the sex tape comes out?
That's a great question. That's according to OK Magazine.
Huh.
Engaged. Over
didn't
the holidays.
Know they were dating.
I didn't either.
Apparently they've been together, kind of boyfriend-girlfriend kind of a thing for a little while, but I didn't know how long.
Interesting.
But according to OK Magazine, engaged.
Wow. You know, I have never been as big a fan of Miss Kardashian as some of you guys.
She's
but
hot.
Once, she yeah, is
she
attractive.
Is.
Way
but
hot.
Once I saw her reality show,
yeah.
I grew to hate her with every fiber of my being.
Well, she's
so much.
She's sound down.
Totally sound down.
Yeah.
On the couple's beat, you guys by now know that Fergie is over the moon with excitement. She is engaged to her longtime boyfriend, Josh Duhamel, from the Las Vegas show. They are getting married, it looks like. She was one of the co-hosts on that New Year's Eve show on ABC. She did the Hollywood portion of it. She hosted in Hollywood.
We sure are having a great time.
And it's just, the whole show is so bogus because they're 3 hours early, so everybody's going ballistic at 9 p.m., you know, on New Year's Eve for the Hollywood portion of the show.
They usually tape that stuff a day before, too, I think.
Just couldn't be any stupider. But anyway, so she's engaged. I don't know if this is a real couple or not, but some are suggesting that Kevin Federline and Paris Hilton, who have been photographed together and definitely were at the same party together over the holidays and did spend time talking to one another, that there may be more to it than just that.
Oh, please, God, make that true. That would be so great.
Well, he did so much for Britney.
Can you imagine?
She's got to be thinking, what can he do for me?
Oh. KFED's representative said the meeting between the two was completely innocent, to which I say, why does KFED need a representative? Why on earth does he need a spokesperson? It's not like his phone's ringing off the hook.
Because he can't speak.
Can you imagine? Could you be a fly on the wall for a conversation between Paris Hilton and Kevin Federline?
That would be the best.
And TMZ.com has a picture of another couple that has been together forever. It has to be at least 15 years. And it's Sting and his wife, Trudy, who are still very much in love. There's a photo of them on Sting's yacht, the Phoenix One, in the Sydney Harbor in Australia over the weekend, where he is, well, licking her toes in the photograph.
I saw that.
All right, listen.
He's rubbing and licking and sucking on. And I don't care how much you dig her. I don't care how long you've been together. But seriously, Sting, really?
Yeah.
Who's into that?
All right, you're better than all of us. Stop it. Stop it. New Jay Leno tonight. New Letterman tonight. New Jimmy Kimmel tonight. New Conan O'Brien. New Carson Daly. New Craig Ferguson.
Damn.
Wow. How about that?
Something to watch.
It's been a while.
Not exactly sure how all of them are making that happen. I know Letterman owns his show. Not sure how Jimmy's doing it. Not sure how, you know, Carson's. I mean, I don't know how these people are going to do it, but we'll see tonight. Very excited.
And who, if you are going to be, you know, appearing on the Jimmy Kimmel show, for instance, you're crossing a picket line if you appear on that show. And are there going to be actors and actresses that are not going to want to do that? I don't know how they have. I mean, this thing is crumbling. This writer's strike is crumbling. If deals like this are being made, if shows like the Golden Globes are still going on the 13th without a deal, they're going to have to get serious about making this thing go away. They've got to settle it.
I would certainly hope so.
But then we've been saying that for weeks, and they don't seem to be any closer to settling it. So I don't know.
Jimmy, if you're listening, two words, Armenian comedian.
Madonna is going to adopt another kid.
Is she? Well, it went well the last time.
She did have some problems with the African nation of Malawi to get her young son, David. Apparently that is all settled now, and they're not going to take the kid away or anything like that. But she doesn't want to roll the dice in Malawi again. So apparently she's taken a page out of the Angelina Jolie playbook, and she's going to Cambodia. Apparently she's going to be like Angelina and try to collect the whole set and get a little Asian baby. I mean, I guess, you know, she can afford it, and she seems to be one of those moms who really does spend the time with the kids. I mean, by all accounts, she is a good, involved mom, but, I mean, at some point, I mean, she doesn't have all that many kids, but it just seems like she's 50-something. Like, at some point, do you stop adopting kids, or do you just do that until you die? I don't know.
I would hope you'd, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, because the kids have such a tough life.
Right. Yeah, maybe you're taking it out of a tough situation in Cambodia, right? Yeah.
Maybe they'd be better as Madonna's 14th rather than, you
know, I would imagine
their situation. Yeah. So who knows?
But wouldn't the scary woman with the leather skin scare you if you're a yes. little kid? I mean, yeah. wouldn't you just look at her and go, no, no.
Why do I have beef jerky for a mom?
Exactly. And one final story, because I love it so much. Jessica Simpson, who wants to be considered as an actress, she made a movie called Blonde Ambition that was going to go direct to DVD, I guess, after the studio saw it. And then they said, hey, you know what? Let's at least give it a whirl. Let's at least throw it up on a few screens and see if anyone wants to go see it. And they did. They put it on 8 screens in Texas. They advertised it. It made $1,322 on all 8 screens for the weekend.
Oh, my God.
$1,300. Does that include food?
I don't think so. That's just the ticket sales. So, yeah, you won't be seeing that one on the big screen. That one's going straight to DVD, as is.
I won't see it on the small screen either.
Right. As is her next movie, the one she made after Blonde Ambition, which is Major Movie Star with Vivica A. Fox. That one is also headed straight for DVD. So
is someone going to give her another movie role after this? What do you bet?
Yes.
Someone will.
Yeah, I guess. She needs to go straight to porn. That's what we really want to see.
That's true.
So
yeah.
Make it happen. Today's celebrity birthdays, and again, if you're just joining us, Ralph Garman does still work for the Kevin and Bean Show. He will return tomorrow and do this feature the way it should be done. But in the meantime, how about the beautiful Kate Bosworth turning 25 years old today? How about the really attractive for 41, Tia Carrere, celebrating her birthday today? Christy Turlington, 39 today. Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr. is 40. Actor Taye Diggs, 36. And Dax Shepard, who is... I don't get it. He's not quite Dane Cook to me, but I don't understand the popularity of this kid, this Dax Shepard. But somehow he's dating Kristen Bell, so somebody out there likes him. He is 33, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Isn't it time for What It Do, Nephew?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So what it do.
What it do, nephew.
A lot of you thought this feature would not survive the new year, but here we are back in 08. 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. You call, you get on the air, you get a prize. And today it's a brand new Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew t-shirt along with the Bourne Ultimatum on DVD. Wow, got some good calls today. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Jose in La Puente. Good morning, Jose.
What's up, man? I just want to say Chuck Liddell bitched out at the end of the UFC fights, man.
What do you mean he bitched out?
Man, he was laying the smackdown, and Chuck's known for knocking people out, but he wanted to guarantee a win, and he went for a takedown. In 10 years of Chuck, watching Chuck fight, I don't think I've ever seen him go for a takedown in his life, man. So
Didn't you think that was a good idea because the guy didn't see it coming? By the way, that fight, if you didn't see it, Chuck Liddell and Silva, they just wrecked each other.
It was sweet.
Just wrecked.
That fight has been happening for the last 5 years. And the last 30 seconds, all you want to see him is just slug it out, man. Just, you know, and he went for a takedown. I thought that was kind of weird.
That's what I like about Jose. Those guys probably hit each other in the face 5,000 times each. Not enough for Jose.
No.
Not enough. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. It was a great fight. Let's go to Alexis in Burbank. Good morning, Alexis. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do? Hi, Alexis.
I want to tell you about my really crappy New Year's, and by crappy, I mean literally.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
We were around a bonfire, and we were drinking champagne, and my friend has 2 dogs. And so when I come home, I go in my friend's brand new slug bug. I didn't realize the whole time I had stepped in dog poo both feet.
Oh, good.
So she dropped me off at my friend's house for a little while, and my friend has a cream carpet. Now I'm walking around the house oblivious, and
good.
I'm just tracking poo all over.
Excellent.
Oh,
tracking
wow, you
poo,
are
by
a
the
bad
way.
House guest.
I saw that band over the holiday. Tracking poo is good.
Are they?
Yeah, they're very good.
The thing is, the worst part is, when I went in the restroom, I thought it was mud, so I put my finger in my shoe, and I smelled it.
Okay, could this get worse?
Come on.
It just did.
Really? I mean, how does that story get so much worse?
You're supposed to be setting the tone for the new year of quality on the Kevin and Bean program, but this is what you give
us?
That's
what I like about our listeners. So I stuck my finger in it and smelled it.
You know, if you're ever in a situation where you're not sure whether it's mud or poo, we will lend you beer mud. We have an intern that is specifically created just for that assignment.
Yes, we will. All right, let's go to Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jenner.
Hey, fellas. Happy New Year.
Happy
you too.
New Year,
you too.
Jenner.
What'd it do?
Okay, let me just tell you guys a little background story. My first birthday party was ready to go. The cake was out. Pinata was up. my grandfather dies.
Oh.
In the, yeah, so that there goes our party. That's okay. Kind of the same effect that Dick Clark had on my New Year's Eve party.
We're live from New York, and there are over 6,000 police keeping everybody safe and sound.
What are you Look. Saying, Jenner? That doesn't say party to you?
Oh, my God, Jesus Christ. I was not everyone just headed for the door.
You'd
I
be.
I think Stu Nahan would have done a better job.
Jenner's got a whole chunk. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. Look, we've already talked about it, but the truth is that for whatever reason, Dick keeps getting on, and I know he owns the show, he produces the New Year's Rockin' Eve, and it seems like ABC could still step in and say, it does not bring the party vibe, Mr. Clark. We appreciate that you want to do the show, but it is not good for our viewers. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be happening. It seems like they're going to keep him on as long as he'll do it.
And are we happy about having to make fun of it? No. We're not. We hate ourselves.
But it's our job, right?
Don't throw meat in front of us if we're starving. All right? Izzy in Northridge. Good morning.
What to do, White Devils?
Hello.
And to you as well, Iz.
Hey, I'm probably one of the handful of people that want to give some love to Dave, the King of Mexico.
For lying? Because he's a lying liar who lies?
No, I'm just happy for him, you know, because even a blind squirrel can find a nut.
Yeah.
Good point.
But isn't this so far out of his league, though? I mean, she's a freaking Miss Double December. Isn't there some justice in the world that says, no, that will not happen?
You know what? But everybody gets one good one. At least one.
That's not true. It should be true, but I don't think it is.
But I want to know more details. You know, where to take place, the Clippers win, and can Dave make a song?
Oh, Dave should make a song. He's got all those Clipper songs.
Yes.
He should make a Yasmin song.
That would be cool.
And was Dave a quick draw?
Izzy, we do have many questions left. That's true.
Lisa, you were going to ask Yasmin about that. Did you have some questions about the ride?
Well, she seemed thumbs up on the whole thing. I mean, and she went, as she said, she went back for seconds, so the first must have been okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't satisfying. Maybe it was strangely not satisfying.
When you first heard us say that Dave had closed that deal with Yasmin, didn't you think the guys are just kidding? It can't be true. It's a joke.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a total joke. I thought it was BS. I thought it was a concert news or something good.
By the way, the way you said it, Veen, is that Dave closed it. No, Yasmin closed it.
Yeah. No, I understand. Dave, she admitted that. She said she was the aggressor. Yeah. But still, it's still wrong, and it still has turned the whole world upside down. I think I said earlier, this is the new 9/11. There would be that dividing line in history of what happened before Dave and Yasmin got together and what happened since.
This is 2008 AD, after Dave.
After
yeah,
Dave.
What a way to start.
All right, listen, we'll ask him for a song. I don't know if he'll do it. But we'll ask him.
Can I get some porn?
Can you get some porn?
Yeah, why not?
I'm sure we can find some.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
I think we're just going to end on that note and give us something to reflect on.
I don't believe it. I'm telling you, tomorrow we're going to talk to them. They're going to go, how funny was that? We told Kevin and Veen, blah, blah, blah. They're totally making it
but
up.
But, I mean, if that's true, they really did a great job setting
it
up. Because
did.
I was getting text messages throughout the holidays. Hey, guess who's making out with Yasmin? It's me. You know, I mean, Dave was planning it that far in advance. That's what makes me think it's probably true.
And what makes me think it's not true is that it's not possible.
Is that he's Dave. Yeah. And she's Yasmin.
So that's that.
His life is so peak, though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
A Mexican, barely alive.
Yes. Having sex with her, it's not right.
Exactly. I want to thank our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Veen Show. And by many, many, I mean none. But tomorrow, we're coming back strong. Am I right?
We do. We have Joe McHale from The Soup on E! Love
Woo!
Him.
Yeah.
We have one of us that's in trouble with the law.
Oh.
We'll tell you about that tomorrow. We have one of us whose wife is leaving us. We'll tell you about that tomorrow.
Oh, is it me?
By the way, the person whose wife is leaving them doesn't know it yet. So we'll break that news.
Could be you, B.
Could be you.
Oh, no. I didn't see much of Donna over the holidays. Interesting.
Who would blame her? Seriously.
Not even Bean.
And we have a K-Rock listener who, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, bet Ralph the New Orleans Saints would have a better record than the Eagles. What was the bet? Somehow he was going to get a tattoo if he lost.
Well, it was a horrible, horrible bet for the listener because the listener agreed to get a tattoo if the Eagles had a better record, which, by the way, they did.
Right.
At 8-8, I believe, and his Saints were 7-9. And all Ralph had to agree to, if the reverse were true, is that this guy would come in and hang out on the show for a day, which is nothing, which is no skin off Ralph. So why the guy made the bet, I don't know. Maybe just overconfidence.
And why is the head coach of the New England Patriots so not happy?
You would think this would be the best time of his life,
a perfect season, and no one's more miserable than him. He hates and hates and hates. He's just sad and angry and mean and sad and angry and mean.
Oh,
it's good to see. I wanted them to win that game that they almost lost because I know how upset he is, how sad he is. If they win the Super Bowl, he's going to commit suicide. That's what's happening.
Exactly. Anyway, all of that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around. Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, Sublime, Incubus, Paramore, Green Day, The Offspring, and so much more right after this on K-Rock.